జయం శుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నతిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందికి నమచరిశల హృదయాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవా శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫల సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం భవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నోయత ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ తేజోవారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైతవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభిః శుశ్రూషుభిః తక్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుభముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినీదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొణిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభతాం మురారే మధురీం నఃకణికాభి కాభికాభి నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరికథోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కర విరాజిత చక్ర శంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధా సహాయమది సుందర మందహాసం వాతాళేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి కోమలం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా విటవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురదో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయ నమ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే నీలారవిందాయతపత్ర నేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమ సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవ సుతం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణదడా జయద్రత జలా గాంధార నీలోల్పలా శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశజవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసర కరికథా సంబోధనాభూదినం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః ప్రేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాత్ భారతమందజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానంద మాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదైర్ సాంగపదైర్క్రమౌపనిషదైర్ గాయంతియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద శ్రీభగవానువాచ పరస్వభావకర్మాణి న ప్రశంసేన గ్రహయే విశ్వమేకాత్మకం పశ్యన్ ప్రకృత్యా పురుషేణ చ పరస్వభావకర్మాణి యప్రశంసతే నిందది ఆశుప్రసదే స్వార్థాల సత్యభినివేశత తైజసేనింద్రయాపన్నే పిండస్థో నష్టచేదన మాయాం ప్రాప్నోతి మృత్యుం వా తద్వన్నానార్థదృక్పుమాన్ కిం భద్రం కిమభద్రం వా ద్వైతస్య వస్తున కియల్ వాచోదితం తదమృతం మనసధ్యాతమేవ చ ఛాయ ప్రత్యుహయాభాస సందోప్యర్థకారిణాం ఏవం దేహాదయో భావా యచ్చంద్యామృత్యుతో భయం అల్పైవదతిదం విశ్వం సృజ్యతే సజతి ప్రభు త్రాయదేత్రాది విశ్వాత్మా హ్రియదే హరదీశ్వర తస్మాన్న హ్యాత్మన్నాస్మాదన్యో భావో నిరూపిత నిరూపితేయం త్రివిధ నిర్మూలం భాదిరాత్మని ఇదం గుణమయం విద్ధి త్రివిధం మాయయా కృతం ఏదద్విద్వాన్మతిదిదం జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన నైపుణం ననిందతి నజస్తౌతి లోకేచరతి సూర్యవల్ ప్రత్యక్షేణానుమానేన నిగమేనాత్మసంవిద ఆద్యందవందసజ్ఞాత్వా నిస్సంగో విచరేదిహ ఉద్ధవౌవాచ నైవాల్పమన్నదేహస్య సంసర్గద్రష్టుదృశ్యయో అనాత్మసుదృశోరీశ కస్య స్యాదుపలభ్యతే ఆత్మా అవ్యయో అగుణశుద్ధ స్వయం జ్యోతిరనావృత అగ్నివద్దారివద అజిల్ దేహ కస్యేహ సంసృతి శ్రీభగవానువాచ యావద్దేహేంద్రియ ప్రాణై ఆత్మనా సన్నికర్షణం సంసారబలవంస్థావల్ అపార్థోప్య వివేకిన అర్థేహ్య విద్యమానేపి సంసృతం నివర్తతి ధ్యాయతో విషయానస్య స్వప్ని అనర్థాగమో యథ యథాహ్య ప్రతిబుద్ధస్య ప్రస్వావో బహునర్థ ప్రవస ఏవ ప్రతిబుద్ధస్య నవై మోహాయ కల్పతే శోకహర్షభయక్రోధం లోభమోహస్పృహాదయ అహంకారస్య దృశ్యంతే జన్మమృత్యుశ్చ నాల్పన దేహేంద్రియ ప్రాణమనోభిమానో జీవోందరాత్మా గుణకర్మమూర్తి సూత్రం మహానిత్యురుదేవగీతం సంసారమాధావతి కాలతంత్ర అమూలమేతద్ బహురూపిదం మనోజ ప్రాణశరీరకర్మం జ్ఞానాసినోపాసనయాశయన చిత్వామునిర్గాంజనత్యతృష్ణ జ్ఞానం వివేకం నిగమస్తమశ్చ ప్రత్యక్షమైదిహ్యమధానుమానం ఆద్యంతయోరసయదేవ కేవలం కాలశ్చ హేతుశ్చ తదేవ మధ్యే సో Last Sunday we were talking about Krishna's this topic is, you can see it is titled as the nature of the absolute truth. That is how the title itself nature of the absolute truth. That's how it's mentioned. So Krishna says that first thing, parasvabhava karmani na prashamsati na prashamsena grahayet. About others, svabhavam or karmam, their behavior or character or their activities, one should never think about that in any way. And should not allow the mind to go into those issues at all. And one should practice this to see this. The whole creation itself is nothing but to see in terms of the soul. One should practice that oneself, to see the world in terms of the soul. That means it is only soul that is existing here. Body is not existing in that way. Atma Swarupam. To see the whole world in that pattern. And we have seen that it's important that not to have, Krishna says there, Nisango vijarediha. As we've seen, this is addressing Uddhava. Especially at the old age, particularly at the old age, this nature has to come to a person. That that vairagyam or detachment, that is what Krishna is mentioning here. And we have spoken about that also. And finally, Krishna says that you can see, he mentioned kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasya avastina kiyal vajoditam tad anardam manasadhyatam eva cha. Why did he say that? Because first thing, this kim badram kim abadram va, it should not be misused. Why they say like this is, that there is no good thing, there is no bad thing. That this principle, kim badram kim abadram va, it should be applied on others. That means, when you see others in this world, this kim badram va should be used on them. Not on us. What it means is that the reason for that is, when we see other people, immediately our vasanas will come up. And accordingly, they will create a chittavritti inside us. Is it not? When you see a person, according to your vasana, the modes of nature, you will create a chitta vritti inside us or the person whom you are seeing. So, in order that it does not affect us, the other person does not affect us, that is where this kim badram kim abadram va should be applied. So when you see other people, it is for them that this kim badram kim abadram va. Whereas the first one, parasabhava karmani na prasamsenargahe, is for us. Whereas kim badram kim abadram va is for while looking at others. When we are in vivaharam with other people, that is where this kim badram abadram va should be used. And we should apply this, knowing this very well all the time. Otherwise it is wrong. So you can see the same thing, kim badram va, the same thing in a different way we say, that everything that happens in this world is Krishna's leela. Why do we say like that? So that it does not affect us. That is the reason behind that. Say for example, an earthquake happens, a floods come, cyclone happens, or a big fire happens. Things like that, big disasters happen. We say it is Krishna's leela. When the bombing happens, Prabhupada said it was Krishna's leela. when Japanese were bombing Calcutta in the Second World War, Prabhupada said the bombs were falling everywhere. And he said it was Krishna's Leela. Krishna is doing this. Why do we say like that? So that their activities does not disturb us. In the sense that it should not cause a hate inside, even towards the enemy. Chittavritti should not happen. We are protecting our subtle body all the time from those things. So, similarly, otherwise sometimes somebody will say, it is Maya, everything is Maya. For this reason only. And somehow or the other, that anything that's happening in the world should not create any chittavritti inside. That's all the purpose behind it. Vritti or vichepam. Vichepam means thought waves coming in and changing, bringing different ideas into our head. So vritti or vichepam, in order that it doesn't create inside, it is only for that purpose. So, but instead if you say, this kimbadram kimabadramva, and you start doing things, it doesn't affect me, kimbadram kimabadramva. If you start doing that, that's risky. That is not good. Because that will create vichepam inside. And many, many people have gone in that way. They got affected by that. By saying like this and doing things in a haphazard way, they had done so many things, what they felt, kimbadram kimabadramva, and they were affected by that. And you will only, you will go in the wrong way, and after a long time, you will realize it that it was all a mistake, that it should not have been applied like that. It will come to you later. So, but by then, you would have gone down a lot in the wrong direction, in the long direction. So, many people, they abuse Bhagavadam. They abuse this knowledge in the Bhagavadam. They abuse this. They will abuse Vedantam. They will abuse Advaitam. They will abuse Bhakti. And that is quite common in this world. People take advantage of the Shastram and abuse it. Because not able to understand it properly. You can easily abuse things in spiritual life. Everything. Because the weaknesses they have inside or their shortcomings inside, in order to, if you start using all these things to justify that, then you will fall down. You will fall. If you start using Shastram to justify our weaknesses inside, and then that means you will fall. You will fall. Instead, if you use it for controlling the senses, controlling the mind, and to bring that shanti inside or the yoga state inside, it should be utilized in that way. Everything in the Shastram should be utilized in that way, that it bring happiness in, happiness means shanti inside and peace inside, control of the mind and control of the senses. In that way, if you use these verses, it will become beneficial to everybody. Otherwise, it will all go upside down. Upside down. That is why when Krishna is saying here, Kim Badram Kim Abadram Va Dvaidasya Avastvina Kiel Vajodidam Tadanardam Manasodhyatam Evacham. So, Uddhava, Krishna says, Uddhava, don't allow the mind to go into the world. Go into the world. Because there is nothing here, Badram or Abadram, that is good or bad. After saying all these things, Krishna says to Uddhava that this whole thing, whole creation itself, Jagat, you should see as nothing but a manifestation of the soul, Atma Swarupam. Then that we have seen in the 6th and 7th verses in the Ishopanishad, which you have seen, Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Atma Iva Sarva Atma Bhuta Atmana Bhuta Janata. One who has known everything as Atma, for that person, then Jnani Atmaiva Abhud. Atmaiva Abhud means that Atmaiva Abhud means he is not seeing it as Atma. Actually, what has happened is for him, everything has become Atma. Atma only exists here. Nothing else is existing here. So that means anything, we call it as matter and all that, but even then, he only realizes that it is Atma. An Atma which is not Atma, and it is like the gold when it is turned into jewelry in different forms, like the bangles or the chain or the rings, whatever it may be. Even though it has become all these things, it doesn't mean it's not gold anymore. It is still gold. Similarly, Atma has become manifested in these different forms, but that does not mean it's not Atma anymore. It is still Atma. That's why sometimes people have this difficulty that when we say spirit and matter, two different things. Initially, to understand the spirit, you have to accept it as spirit, everything. But later on, when you have understood that concept, difference between spirit and matter, later on you will see that matter is also spirit. There is only spirit. There is no matter. So that realization has to come. Just like even when you melt the bangles or the chain or any other jewelry, ultimately it comes back to gold again, isn't it? So same thing. Whatever it may be, essentially it is gold. Essentially it is gold. That means the satta. Satta means the substance is actually gold. Substance is gold. Similarly, whatever you see in this creation, in the form of name and form, male and female, everything is nothing but Atma. That is a higher realization. It has to happen. But not seeing it with the eyes as Atma, but in our understanding or in our realization, it is Atma. We only see that Atma, not as the name and form. We'll come to that little later. Krishna talks about that. So, actually, if you look, it is like this. We say Satya Chitta Anandam. What is Atma? Atma is Satya Chitta Anandam. And then the forms what we see here is Namarubam. Is it not? Namarubam. It's a very important thing, because if you get it, you got the truth. Then there is nothing more to worry about it. First thing is Satya Chitta Anandam. The Satya Chitta Anandam, it has got another way in Vedantam. They will call it as Asti Bhadi Priyam. Asi is Satta, Bhadi is Chitta, and Anandam is Priyam. In Vedantam they use these three words. Generally it is Sachidanandam, we say Satta Chitta Anandam. Vedantam it is Asti Bhadi Priyam. So Asti Bhadi Priyam and then Namam Rupam. These five things, this is the creation. Creation is nothing but these five things. Satya Chitta Anandam and or Astibhadi Priyam and Namarupam. Namarupam. So, the world, when you look at it, what is the world? World is nothing but Namarupam, name and form, isn't it? Name and form. Anything in this world, if you take, it has got a name, it has got a form. That's all. Name and form. And how do we know about this name and form, Namarupam? Namarupam is always seen with the eyes. Is it not? We see with the eyes all the Namarupam. Namarupam is either you see through the eyes or you hear about that through the ears. In one of the senses, through one of the senses you come to know Namarupam. But the person who is seeing the Namarupam, he is Astibhadi Priyam, Satya Chitta Anandam, isn't it? The person who is seeing the Namarupam is Satya Chitta Anandam, is it not? The person who is seeing the Namarupam is Satya Chitta Anandam. And so that means everything that is seen or known is Namarupam. But the person who is knowing it, all this, seeing all these things, is Astibhadi Priyam or Satya Chitta Anandam. Do you get that? Everything
what you are seeing or you are knowing about the other's existence, everything that you are seeing in this world, all namarupam, is all namarupam. What is all namarupam? But the person who is seeing and experiencing it is Satyachitanandam. The way it is at the moment, isn't it? So, you can understand from that, that the person who sees things or knows things, his nature is consciousness, bodham, awareness, and astitvam, bhadi, and then asti, bhadi, and priyam, and happy inside. Self, awareness, atma, in other words. His nature is existence for us. All the one who is seeing everything, his nature is existence. Consciousness is his nature. Consciousness is nature. And similarly, happiness is also his nature. This we are talking about soul, about the soul. Awareness or the self, in other words. Atma. Atma, who is seeing everything, what he is seeing is namarupam. He himself is Satyachitanandam, Astibhadi Priyam. Right? So everything what you are seeing is namarupam. You are yourself Satyachitanandam. Satyachitanandam. So in this state as Satyachitanandam, and you are situated in that, and it is in this state that you are seeing all the namarupam, all the names and forms. Right? In this state as Satyachitanandam, you are seeing all the things as namarupam. But have you noticed one thing? I am not a namarupam for me. This example, if it is spoken, some people will capture it like this. Some people won't. They will keep thinking about it. Think about this. For you or for me, each one of us here, I am not a namarupam for me. Why? Why is that? Because for me, namarupam doesn't matter. For me, my existence is more important. Awareness of my existence. Consciousness. But for me, you are all namarupam for me. Do you understand the difference? For me, I am... Similarly, every one of us, right? Each one of us, for me, I am Satyachitanandam. I'm not a namarupam for me. For me, I'm not a namarupam because I don't even know my whole... I can't see my back. I can't see my top of my head. I can't see many places in the body, right? So, rupam is not clear. Rupam has no effect on me. And even my name, if somebody asks me, what's your name? Then I'll have to think, what's my name? There's 3-4 names. Which one to use then, I think. So, name is not touching me. Do you know what I'm saying? So, sometimes people have 3-4 names, isn't it? What the parents have given, then pet name, and friends have given another name. If you are initiated, you have got another one. Like that, 4-5 names you have. For which one to use? Practically, you don't have any connection with any of these names, individually. But when I see another person, namarupam is important. The only way I connect with somebody else is through namarupam. So namarupam, for me, myself, namarupam doesn't apply. But for another person, namarupam applies. See that problem there. So one person said, when I heard this, it clicked to me like this. He said, what Vedantam is talking about. Because for me to think about you, I couldn't think about you without your namarupam. Without name and form, I can't think about you. Isn't it? Because keeping your form, you are coming inside me. You come inside me with your form and the name. You come inside me. And similarly, if you want to think about me, my form will come into your mind. My form will come inside your mind. But if you are thinking about yourself, if you are thinking about yourself, you won't be thinking about your name and form. Is it not? You don't need Namarupam to think about yourself. If you have not caught it yet, keep thinking about it till you get it. That's all I can say. That difference, I'm saying. Because why I'm saying this is that how important it is, that consciousness. For me today, if you ask me, my existence is based on my consciousness. That I am existing. I am. Because body is going, and it's going its own way. So this name and form is not important for me. But for me, when I look into others, their name and form is important. Namarupam, they come into my mind with that way. Is it not? So you see the difference? Can you see the difference? That from your point of view, if you look at it, everybody else, each one of us, for other people are also Namarupam. Everybody else is Namarupam. But for one person, he himself, it is not Namarupam. For me, it is not Namarupam. It is Sachidanandam. Satachitanandam is me. Whereas everybody else is Namarupam for me. Because your Satachitanandam is not experienced by me. I am only experiencing my Satachitanandam. Whereas you are experiencing individually your own Satachitanandam. That is why Astibhadi Priyam Satachitanandam. Krishna is explaining that in detail here. Krishna is saying to us that that even if you can never relate with your own form. You can never relate with your own form. I can relate with everybody in these cells with their forms only. Male, female, old person, younger person. Different ways, isn't it? As soon as I spoke about anybody here, immediately the form will come to my mind. Whereas about me, I don't have any connection with my form. See that difference there? So that is the important thing. For example, even if you use a mirror or photograph, anything, still it is very partial. It's my whole existence is not in that photograph or in the mirror. Some people never look at the mirror. Sannyasis are not even allowed to look at the mirror. Why? Because if you keep looking at the mirror, then what it means is that that's the only time you are seeing the form in the mirror. Even that is not necessary. Why? Because you have no connection with that form. Your connection is actually with the inside vastu. Atma. Astibhadi Priyam Satachitanandam. That's where our connection is. Individually. But when you see a person from outside, Namarupa matters to us. Because that person comes to my mind inside. Anybody tells me that about someone else, immediately first thing I'll think about his form. Who was that person? And his name. Namarupam for others, Satachitanandam for yourself, individually. So, everything that means that, everything that is separated from us is all Namarupam. Everything separated from us is all Namarupam. And for ourselves, each one of us, Astibhadi Priyam. Astibhadi Priyam. Or Satachitta Anandam. Satachitta Anandam. That Satachitta Anandam means Satchidanandam, that experience inside of existence. Awareness of our own existence. Because you can see, even when you are in a completely dark room, even there, you know about yourself, that you exist. Whereas if somebody else comes in, you have to see him to know that he is existing there. Whereas your own existence, even in the dark room, you are aware of that. Is it not? So, that why is that? Because without a light, without any external source, your existence itself is showing you the light of your existence. That is the nature of the soul. The soul by its very presence make you aware that you are here, you are there. You know yourself at that time, that you exist. And astitvam, sukhaswarupam. So, in that awareness, it is in that awareness you are seeing all the Namarupam. All the Namarupam you are seeing sitting in this awareness. And that is why we say creation is nothing but Namarupam. Creation is nothing but Namarupam. So, Astibhadi Priyam is the basis, Adhishthanam. And in this Adhishthanam, Namarubam comes and goes. Is it not? Is it not? Astibhadi Priyam is same all the time. It's not changing. Individually I'm saying, each one of us. Astibhadi Priyam or Satachitta Anandam remains same. It is not changing. But all the Namarubams are coming and going, coming and going. Right? And that is what Krishna has told us there. Sutram, if you look into the 16th verse, Sutram Mahani It Urudeva Gita. Sutram Mahani Tirudeva Gita. Similarly, next verse he said, Bahuruba Rubidam. In the 17th verse, Amulameda Bahuruba Rubidam. This Bahuruba Rubidam, Urudeva Gita, all this is referring to Namarubam. Because it comes and changes, goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. Every day you are meeting so many people, they are all coming and going. But you are the same person inside. Astibhadi Priyam, Satyachitanandam. You are in your position as the awareness, they are all Namarubam for you. Namarubams are coming and going. So that means the basis is Satyachitanandam. In Satyachitanandam, Namarubams are coming and going. Namarubams are coming and going. So, any Namarubam that is coming and going, Krishna said that it is anirdam. Look at the word he has used. That vachodidam tad anirdam manasadhyatam evacha. Kim badram kim abadram va. Dvaida savastuna kiyal. If it is in the fourth verse, everything is anirdam. Krishna says anirdam. Anirdam. For example, just like if you are seeing a movie, this is an important thing what Krishna is trying to explain to us. That you are, say, for example, you are seeing a movie, and when you are watching the movie, it creates a lot of emotions inside us, isn't it? Emotions inside us. In some people, you like somebody in the movie, some people you don't like in the movie. And when the person whom you like is winning, you feel happy. And you know the movie is not real. It's a movie at the end. The screen is real. Is it not? But imagine the effect the movie is creating us. How the movie is creating an effect in us. Even though we know it's not real, still, when something happens in the movie which you like, then you feel happy that it has happened that way. So it's able to, and when you look at it from an absolute platform, only the screen is real there. Movie is not real, isn't it? It's coming and going, coming and going. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that this creation also in the same way, and similarly, the three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, particularly Jagrat and Swapnam, these two things, it creates some changes in us, effects on us. Some effects it creates on us. So, is the things what's happening in vacant state and the dream state? Krishna is saying, it's creating some movements inside our mind, but is that something substantial? That's what Krishna is asking. Something substantial. Because, just like when you're watching the movie, some emotions are coming inside. But Krishna's point is, the film you have seen yesterday, the cinema you have seen yesterday, and certain things that has happened yesterday, are they not similar? People find that very difficult to understand. But Krishna's point is, he's trying to make us understand that the past is all in the memory, that's all. It has no meaning anymore. We are holding on to, 10 years ago he said something about me like this. That's done and gone. We hold on to that and feel upset about that. Or something happened 15 years ago And but all it is there in the memory only. It has no reality, isn't it? Krishna's point is, when you are seeing a movie, and the movie creates some impressions in you, for temporarily for that moment, and you know that it is not real, because movie is not real. Cinema, the screen is more real than the movie itself, right? Similarly, in our so-called life, in this existence, so many things are happening every day, and that's finished and gone. That's gone. So, Krishna's question is that, the movie you have seen yesterday, and the experiences you had yesterday, there is not practically any difference today. Today there is no difference. Both things are in your memory, what you saw in the movie and what you experienced yesterday. So, so it so happened that certain things that happened yesterday has affected us a little bit more forcefully than the cinema you saw yesterday. When you saw the cinema yesterday, it created some emotions, but when you walked out of the cinema theater, that emotions also slowly gone away. Krishna is saying, the experiences you had yesterday in your life in this world was a little bit more stronger than the cinema. So it has affected you a little longer time. But the reason Krishna is saying is for that is, your ahankaram is attached to this strongly, therefore you felt it stronger. You understand? Because your ahankaram is attached to the activity what has disturbed you, therefore you felt that stronger than the movie. While watching the movie, your ahankaram is still there. But the effect of the movie on your ahankaram is less effective than the incident what happened yesterday or day before, whatever it may be, on your ahankaram. Because your ahankaram is more attached to this activity what happened yesterday, and that is why you are more disturbed because of what happened yesterday. Krishna is trying to explain to us, when he is saying these things, he is trying to tell us that don't hold on to the past too much and keep past as a pointer. History does that, which is a big mistake. Do you know that? They will say history repeats, they say. What history repeats? Maya repeats. History doesn't repeat. Maya does so many funny things with us. So that is why all the rishis, they never told us to study history. Don't study history, don't waste your time, because it doesn't work like that. They are seeing from Vedantam point of view, this manifested world is like a movie that is going on. How you can find any logic in all these things? So, but whereas many people, they are teaching this history in the school so seriously, telling them about Napoleon, about Hitler, about Mussolini, about this, about that. We also study all these things. And if you got all the year when the war happened and where they fought the battle, and you keep all these things in your head, for what? What does it mean? That's gone with that. What has happened? Do any one of people remember? Nobody is living practically who have in the First World War, isn't it? There's going to be few people living there. For others who had come after First World War, even after Second World War, First World War is just a memory now. Somebody says in the book there was a war happened like that. Otherwise, what reality has it got? So Krishna's point is like this, that because your ahankaram is attached to something strongly, it will have a deeper impact on you. Otherwise not. So, and in some instances, for some people, the cinema is so powerful that it affects their life more than their own life. That's also there, is it not? So many instances it has happened. Because after certain cinemas have got such a powerful way of presenting it. And if your life goes on, but you go and see this movie day after day after day, that cinema becomes a reality for you, more than your own life. more than your own life, isn't it? So, what is the reason there? Because the effect of the cinema is more powerful than your own life, what's happening. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. Krishna's point is very important. That, what Krishna is saying here is, nothing has to be real, in fact, to have its effect on you. It doesn't have to be real. You still can have the effect on you. For example, every incident what happened in your life, it need not be real, but the effect was there on you. You saw that? Artehi avidyamanevi samsardir na nivartate dhyayato vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yatha. That is the point Krishna is making. That nothing has to be real in this world to have its effect on you. And the rishis knew this very well. This is an important psychological issue. Rishis knew that Puranam, when they wrote Puranam, what is important is not the history. What is the effect of the Puranam in you? That's what matters. Right? So, even if that's why so many things they have written, they may be real or may not be real. You don't have to worry about it. But when you read the Puranam, the impact that Puranam creates in us, that's what matters. That's what matters. So, here you can see here. So, that is what the cinema example is this. Chaya pratyasvaya bhasa asandopyarthakarina evam dehadeyo bhava yachandya mrityudo bhayam. Chaya pratyasvaya bhasa is cinema. Chaya pratyasvaya bhasam asandopi arthakarinam. So, Krishna is saying here, for example, you studying Ramayanam, you study Mahabharatam. Now, ever since this film industry has grown big and various technology developed, Ramayanam has become popular worldwide. Lot of people have interest in the Ramayanam, seeing about the various things what's spoken in the Ramayanam, isn't it? So, but if you want to verify whether everything written in the Ramayanam is exactly what happened, there is no way of verifying it. There is no way of verifying it, everything. There are so many things in the Ramayanam which may be difficult to verify today. It has happened millions of years ago. How will you verify today, Ramayanam? We haven't got any clear idea about many things spoken in the Ramayanam. We will not be able to connect with that. Is it not? So, but Ramayanam affects us. When you read Ramayanam, it affects you. Same thing with Mahabharatam also. So many things in the Mahabharatam like when Vedavyasa Maharshi cut the pieces of flesh and put into 100 pots and poured water and chanted the mantram and left it there. And from each pot came out one person. That is the Kauravas, is it not? If you tell those things to us, anybody, they will think this is amazing. They will say mythology and all, and they will reject it, right? So, but whatever it may be, when you read Mahabharatam, it has its positive effect on everybody. Positive effect, isn't it? So you can see that a book is having so much effect on us. Ramayanam or Mahabharatam for Matya. And you can also see another one book is creating so much trouble in this world. One book is capable of doing that. From what do we understand from that? For example, when we look at that book is saying so many things. And those who are reading that book, they are ready to kill others. Because book says. So you see the effect of the book. The book has fired up so many people to commit terrorism, to commit all kinds of activities. The effect of the book, isn't it? So, whatever it may be, somebody came and spoke certain things in that book, and that book is causing so much problems that people are willing to kill each other because the book says. So, whether it is Ramayanam or Mahabharatam or Quran or Bible, whatever it may be, in the name of all these things, people are fighting. Is it not? People fight based on all these things. And whether it has all happened exactly the same way it is written in the book, we don't know. There is no way of verifying that, is there? There is no way of verifying whole of Mahabharatam, whole of Ramayanam, whole of Bible, whole of Quran. How will you verify? All we have got is bits and pieces here and there, put it together. So, and those what is written in that book is not happening now. It happened so many years ago, hundreds and thousands of years ago. But what is present in us at the moment is in our imagination what we have read from the book. That's created some imaginations inside us. And keeping that it is written in the book thousands of years ago, we are able to fight each other. So do you not see the effect of the book on us? How it has affected the people, isn't it? So what Krishna is saying on the same principle, that in order to get distressed in life, you don't need to have something to cause the distress for you. It can still get, you can feel the distress in this world. You don't need something to happen in life, but you can still feel the distress without any cause here. That's what that verse is saying. Artehi avidyamanebi, important principle, that you can suffer in this world without any reason. That is the most thing, important thing. Without any reason, you can suffer in this world. You can suffer in this world without any reason. Suppose sometimes we will see that some thoughts comes into the mind about something incident. Fear builds up. Anxiety builds up. Anger builds up inside. Nothing has happened. Later on you realize that, oh, that was not real. But effect is there. Is it not? Effect is there. So, Krishna saying here, that there is no necessity that there should be something to be there to create that distress. Even without that, it can create distress in your mind. Say, for example, if this world doesn't exist, that doesn't mean that your distress is all gone. Distress will not go. Even if the world is not there, you will have the distress. You will have the distress. But even though it may not be real, its impact will be there in you. The impact will be there in you. Just like when you think about this, that this one book, which was written, say, 1500 years or 2000 years back, you read the book and you are acting based on that today. You don't have any way of verifying all these things, what's written in the book. You haven't got an opportunity to speak to the person who spoke things in the book to verify what he has spoken. You are not able to talk to him. You have just accepted it, what is written in the book, and you are acting based on that. Killing others and terrorizing others, frightening others, all kinds of things people are doing based on that. Krishna's point is the same thing, that to jump into action, you don't require anything, because inside your vasanas and your prarabdham will prompt you from within, even without anything coming in. So, and if you ask this impact of that book on you, even that is not real. Even that is not real, because you can see who has got the impact, where is the impact, and who has got this disturbance inside. That is what Krishna is saying, that ahankarascha drishyante. That's the answer for that. Ahankaram is the one who is getting disturbed by everything. So when activities like these things happen, because there is no proper education for them, then they don't even understand that there is a thing called ahankaram inside, which is working very well. And Krishna says there, ahankarascha drishyante janma mrityuscha nalpana shogam harsham bhayam krodham lobhamohaspruhadaya ahankarasya drishyante janma mrityuscha nalpana shogam harsham bhayam krodham lobham moham spruha. All these things, ahankarascha drishyante. So when ahankaram itself, Krishna's point is, ahankaram itself is false. Is it not? Because when you inquire about him, he is not there. Unlike Atma, Atma is there in all the three states. Whereas Ahankaram is not there. So he is not real. And if you want to catch him, you can't catch him also. You can inquire about him, but you can't get him. And therefore, he says here, the effect of the world in you is there. Impact is there. World need not be real. That is the too subtle thing it is, that ahankarasya drishya, impact is there, even though the vastu that's causing the impact is not real. The object that is causing the impact is not real, but the impact is there. Like in the dream state. So, it is at that time Uddhava asked Krishna, who has got the rebirth then? Who is taking birth again? So, therefore Krishna is saying there, that you can see that verse 10 and 11 is that, who is taking the birth again? And you are saying that, ahankarasya na atmanaha, janma mrityusya na atmanaha. Birth and death is not for Atma, it is for the Ahankaram. And you will see this in the na nirodho, na ulpati, na nirodham, na ulpati, na sadhaka, na mamuchu, ityesha paramartadaha. Upanishad says, na nirodham, na ulpati, na sadhaka, na mamuchu. From the spiritual position, if you look at, there is nobody who is looking for liberation, who is nobody who is performing any sadhana. No sadhana, no mumukshu. And also, it says that ityesha paramarthadaha, that is the reality. But because totally liberated vastu is Atma, Atma is always liberated. So, a liberated vastu, how can it have a birth again? Isn't it? Nityamukta vastu, how can it have birth again? It cannot have birth again. Similarly, death also. If there is no birth, where is the death? And rebirth, material existence. All these things does not exist in the Atma. Atma is Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta Swarupam. And Atma has no material existence. Atma has no contact with this world. It does not have a body. It does not have a mind. And it has no problem from any of those things coming from the all these things. No problems for Atma. Or all the difficulties what we are experiencing at the moment. None of them has any impact on the Atma. That once you know that you are that Atma, then all these problems are over. Once for all. Once for all the problems are over. Interesting this is, one person asked an important question to a sannyasi. You are telling me that I am Brahman. Everybody is Brahman, you are saying. But even though I am thinking that I am Brahman, I am getting headaches sometimes. He said, why is it like that? So this sannyasi told him, if you have realized that you are Brahman, then you won't have a head even. To get headache, which is sensible, isn't it? Yeah. But, so that means you are intellectually saying you are Brahman. If in your realization, if you are Aham Brahmasmi, if you are in that state, if you have realized it, then you won't have a head, would you? So where is the question of headache? That was the answer. So, and he said that in your deep sleep state, Sushupti state, you don't have a body, is it not? And at that time you don't have the mind, you don't have the world, and you don't have the ego, nothing. What is there? There is something there in that deep sleep state. That's you. That's the easiest way to understand. In the deep sleep state, you don't have the body, you don't have the mind, you don't have the ego, you don't have the world, nothing. But then what is there? There is something there, we don't know how to define that. And that's you. That's how Krishna is saying. There's something there in the deep sleep, is it not? Because when you wake up, next time you're saying, "Is I had a good sleep, really had a good time in that." So there you don't even thinking about yourself. Even you are not there. Who is saying in the vacant state, "I am, I am, I am," and running around in this world, ahankaram. Even that ahankaram is not there. You had some happy experience there, some happy experience only there, and that's you. That's what Krishna is saying here. That and astitvam, awareness of that existence, that is the our identity. And the important thing is, Krishna is saying, you think about this in your awakened state all the time. What's happening in the deep sleep state? In that way, that way, the other two things, bhadi and priyam, will become stronger. Asti bhadi priyam, satachita anandam. So, this astitvam in the deep sleep state is a good signal for us to go into the vacant state. When we are in the vacant state, because other things are happening, don't give importance to it. Give importance to what we were in the deep sleep state, astitvam. And if you do that, bhadi and priyam will come naturally, because asti bhadi priyam is always together. If you hold on to astitvam seriously, bhadi and priyam will come from that. That's the nature of the soul. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, once you come out of that state, from there, once you come out of that state, which one? The asti bhadi priyam, from that state, you then you are in asata, in the field of asata. Satta is the chitta. Sat is the chit. Sat itself is the chit. And chit itself is the anandam. So when we say satta, chitta, anandam, they are not three separate things. Sat itself is the chit. Chit itself is the anandam. So because the experience of sat in the deep sleep state, sushupti state, is very clear to us, crystal clear, is it not, in the deep sleep state? Because it's easy to analyze. If you just these are the things one should do actually, rather than worrying about so many other things in this world. That you can see here, that when you go into deep sleep state, body is not there, the mind is not there, the world is not there, the ahangaram which is doing all these things also not there in the deep sleep state, in the sushupti state, right? And but when you wake up from the deep sleep into vacant state, when you come back, you are 100% sure that you were there in the deep sleep. A reality of the deep sleep, that your existence, you are completely conscious of that in the deep sleep. Why? Because when you came out, you felt immense happiness inside. The deep sleep gave you that in the deep. And if there was a happiness experience, who was experiencing that? That is Atma. Atma's nature, that is. Because Ahangaram is not there. So if Ahangaram is not there, then the only Atma can release that. So that is the Satta. That is Satta. That means reality. Satta. Satta is existing there. So if you bring, keep thinking this again and again in the vacant state, you will know that Sat, effect of the Sat, will be pulled with Chit, and Anandam will come through that. That is the passage to the soul. Passage to the soul. Satta Chitta Anandam. So, so Sat is the Chit and Chit is the Anandam, and that Anandam itself is that real I, the real I. And that real I has no birth, no death. Real I has no birth, no death. That is what Krishna is saying here. That that yadahi apradibuddhasya praswabo bahu anarthakrit anarthabrat ya eva pradibuddhasya mavai mohaya kalpade. If you come there, then you don't have the moham or illusion. At the moment, the illusion is working. So whatever we are talking, whatever we are doing in our vacant state, is not really any making any sense, is it not? We are doing so many things because our identification is strongly with the ahangaram. What Krishna's point is that when you are identifying with ahangaram, when you are identifying with ahangaram, all this problem must be there. It cannot be without that. Which one? Shogam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spriha, birth, death, everything. But if you are identifying with that satta, what you are experienced in the deep sleep state, which will slowly pull chitta and anandam along with it inside, you will become established in the Atma. You will become established in the Atma. in the Viveka Chudamani, this thing is spoken very precisely. So many verses, it goes on and on and on about that. Verse number 254, 255, 256, 257, 258, 259, 60, 61, 62, all that is about that. And there it is said that Brahmatattvamasi bhavayatmani. Brahmatattvamasi bhavayatmani. All those verses ends up with that. Brahmatattvamasi bhavayatmani. That vastu does not have Jadi Nidi Kulam Gotra Duragam Nama Rupa Gunadosha Varjidam Desha Kala Vishayati Vartiyad Brahma Tattvamasi Bhavayatmani Yalparam Sagala Vaga Gocharam Gocharam Vimala Bhoda Chakshusha Shuddha Chitta Dhana Anadi Vastuyad Brahma Tattvamasi Bhavayatmani Shadbi Rupa Bhid Yogi Yogihad Bhavidamna Karaner Vibhavidam Buddhajat Atamana Vatamastiyad Brahmaya Tattvamasi Bhavayatmani Brandi Kalpidam Jagat Kalakshayam Swashrayam Cha Yadasaddhi Lakshanam Nishkalam Nirupama Anavaddi Vanayadiyad Brahma Tattvamasi Bhavayatmani Janmam Vriddhi Parinatya Pakshayam Vyadhi Nashana Vihina Avyayam Vishwasrishta Chaya Vidhada Karanam Brahma Tattvamasi Bhavayatmani. So all those verses he is saying here that Vishwasrishti Vishwasrishta Yadhi Vidhada Karanam Brahma Tattvamasi Bhavayatmani. Know that that is the nature of this Brahman and that is your identity. Once you have known that, then Deham, that means the body, the senses, Indriyam, Pranam, the life air, the mind, and also, because once you have known this Satyachitta Anandam, then what will happen? Then you won't feel connection with the body, connection with the mind, connection with the senses, and connection with the even the three modes of material nature will go. Once you have known the Atma, identification with the Atma comes. What Krishna is saying here that analyze it in this way. Go into the deep sleep state every day and think about it. What happened in the deep sleep? Body gone, mind gone, intelligence gone, senses gone, ahankaram gone, everything gone. And when you woke up in the morning, immediately you remember that happy, blissful experience you had. That means that existence has not gone, is it not? Because in the deep sleep also, existence has not gone. Awareness is there. That because proof is when you woke up, if awareness was not there, how did you experience it? That's the proof. So you experienced something in the deep sleep, and when you woke up, you have to hold on to that experience in the deep sleep. And if you keep on thinking that existence is important than anything else in this world, and if you bring that back into the vacant state, that existence, awareness of the existence, and you will know that, along with that, that Chitta and Anandam will also come. It is Sat that you have experienced in the deep sleep. Sat. So out of the three nature of the soul, Satyachitta Anandam or Asti Bhadi Priyam, you have managed to experience the Sat or Asti in your deep sleep state.
If you pull that into vacant state and keep meditating on that, Krishna is saying, along with that, Bhadi and Priyam, or Chit and Anandam will follow that, because they are all together. Once you hold on to one of those things, Satya, Chitta, Anandam, any one of them, the others will not automatically will come with that. That's together always. They're always together. So, and but if you are still feeling connection with the body, if you are still feeling connection with the body, mind, senses, and the three modes of material nature, that means that connection, what you are feeling, is called material existence. Material existence. And that is another word Krishna is using, is chit-jada-granthi. The granthi, chit-jada-granthi, chitta and jadam, that connection between the two. Granthi means that link, connecting link between chit and jadam. Chit-jada-granthi. And that is what Krishna is saying in the 16th verse. See that?
Dehendriya-prana-mano-bhira-ano jiva-andhar-alma-guna-karma-murthi sutram-mahani-tiru-deva-gita samsara-madhavadi-kala-tantraham Dehendriya-prana-mano-bhimano jiva-andhar-alma-guna-karma-murthi sutram-mahani-tiru-deva-gita samsara-madhavadi-kala-tantraham.
Then, what he is saying is that samsara-madhavadi-kala-tantram, from one samsaram, you will go into another samsaram. One samsara, this is one samsaram now, this life. Next body, we don't know where it will be, what it will be. And there will be another samsaram there, another material existence there. And from one samsaram to another samsaram, adhavadi, Krishna says, samsaram adhavadi. And it is running from one body to another body, one material existence to existence to another existence, isn't it? And who is doing that? This aham. Aham is doing that, who I am saying. And the same thing is, that same ahankaram is what they call a sutralma. Sutralma or jiva, or also Krishna uses the word gunakarma murti. All same thing. Gunakarma murti, jiva, sutralma, ahankaram is all the same thing. And as long as that vastu ahankaram, It is identifying with body, senses, or the pranam inside. You have no other choice, Krishna says. You have no other choice. What is that? It will not finish with the death. Adhavadi. Adhavadi kalam. Samsaram adhavadi. Samsaram adhavadi means, for example, now we have a human body, right? Male body or female body, doesn't matter. We experience material misery now in one form. Suppose you leave this body, you go into next body. Doesn't matter what body it is, male body or female body, what species it is, doesn't matter. But material existence will be there in another form. The miseries now is one style, the miseries in the next life will be another type. But misery is misery at the end. It will be there. So wherever identification is there, and that is what he is saying here. Dehendriya prana mano abhimanam. Abhimanam means that identification. Identification with that. If you have identification with deham, pranam, minus any of these things, jivo andaralma gunakarma murti. So what normally happens is, suppose you have a certain abhimanam. Abhimanam means identification inside. So, before death happens, you have so many identifications, isn't it? Ahankaram inside has identified with many, many things. In the previous verse, Krishna mentioned in the next verse, Bhuruva Rubidam, ahankaram has taken different forms. And it has got identified with many things, right? You have got identification with many, many things inside. So, all those things what you have identified with, that will be put into the deposit inside. Inside it is deposited. And then, this deposit inside, like the bank, it will give you a credit card. You take that credit card and you start the journey, next life. In the next life, you will put the card in. And whatever you have taken out from this stalked vasanas and stalk identifications from there. Something will be taken out and spent in the next life. So that credit card is still valid. Card is still valid. Go into the next body, put the card in again and pull out something more. So this is like a bank inside, and Ahankaram is like the credit card. It is taking out everything from inside, what you have accumulated here. And when you die, he will ask, where do we go now next to spend the next samsara? Where to have the next samsara? That question will come. So, the body of that ahankaram is its abhimanam. That ahankaram, its body is this stacked up things inside. Isn't it? So, that is its body. So, therefore, he will always be stuck with everything what you have stored inside. The subtle body, ahankaram, it will stick to all the things what you are feeling abhimanam inside, where you are feeling identification. So many things we have identification inside. We are not even conscious of all that. According to our vasanas, we have created that abhimanam inside, isn't it? So, so those things are sticking to this abhimanam. Whereas, this body what we are leaving here, this is only an outer covering. Body what you are leaving here is only an outer covering. It will drop and go. Finished. There. With that. You don't have to worry about it so much. But that fellow inside here with the credit card, he is the one who is going to cause all the problems. Because got the credit card and there is plenty of money also in the account. So what to do? So go, keep with the journey continues, one body after another body after another body. So we take out this gross body and perform all this samskaram for this body, is it not? You burn the body, then you take the bones from that, you go into the rivers and we do all the rituals there, everything for the gross body. But what samskaram can you do for the one who has got the money? Who's got the credit card, you can't do anything with him. He is the whole problem. Problem is him, not this gross one. Gross one, you can do all these things. You can take him out. After the death, we burn ashes and the bones. That's what they give you in a packet, isn't it? And then we keep it at home and then you go to some holy river and we think that we have done everything. You couldn't do anything with the other one inside. That fellow is so independent. Then he says, I don't care what you got, I got the money, I got the card, I'm going, he says. So he goes. So the real body, that is the real one, not this one. Real body goes, he quits the place. As soon as this body is gone, he is gone. And he starts with, but he has got a body, another body inside. What is that? He has got his arms, legs, the senses, his knowledge, senses of knowledge, senses of action. Yanendriyam, Karmendriyam. That is his body. That's his body. It's not this gross body. Because when the gross body dies, senses of knowledge, senses of action, the mind, and all the vasanas and samskarams what he have, which are all very subtle inside, that is all his body. The fellow who is inside. It is his body that is. Which one? All the vasanas, all the samskarams, all the senses of knowledge, all the senses of action, everything is him. And if you look at your own body, primarily, what is this body? Senses of knowledge and senses of action. If you take out all that from this body, what's left here? Not much, is there? Senses of knowledge is, you know which one? Shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandham. The five things, what you are relating with the world all the time. These five things in the body. You know, shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. That means the eyes, the ears, the nose, the touch, and the taste. Shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandham. Five sense knowledge. And then, hands, legs, they are all the part of the senses of action. Vaka, pani, padam, upastham, vayu, all those things. Right? Five senses of action. So if we take about that five senses of action and five senses of knowledge, hardly anything left in this. Is it not? Legs have gone, hands have gone. What's left behind? So, what we have to remember here is that actually those senses, vaka, pani, padam, senses of action and senses of knowledge, all sticks to that fellow inside, not to this gross body. Gross body is burned, gone. But the other fellow hasn't lost anything. He still has got the senses of knowledge, senses of action, the mind and prana, everything. And plus all the vasanas and samskarams also. So who is stronger? We have to always see the difference between the gross body and the subtle body. Gross body has no meaning. Gross body, you can do what you want with it. But the other fellow won't allow you to touch him. He is so independent, he is. He will go on his own way and he will start doing things on his own accord. So, and that's a very close-knit family inside, that one. The one inside. Because he's holding on to all the samskaram, all the vasanas together. And he, as soon as this fellow goes, this gross body goes, he will get his next flight ticket and he's gone to the next place. Next place, he has gone. And how does he go? He has got a good transport facility also. That's called pranan. Pranan is the flight to the next destination. Using pranan as the flight or the aeroplane, this fellow inside, he will travel freely to the next destination, which is the next body. There he will go, and what he will do first getting there, what does he do? He puts all his senses in its place, the mind in its place, and then through that gross body he will start his next material life. Material life. So it is worthwhile thinking about this, how this journey goes on and on and on, life after life after life. And we are busy with this whole thing, which is not much to offer. So, and then when he gets into the next place, he will prepare the next body in such a way, according to the sushma vasana inside, or the samskaram inside, will decide what kind of body he wants, the next body. According to that vasana, if it has a strong vasana for different propensities in life, right? Accordingly, that body, the next body. That's why we all come out with different bodies like this. Why each body is different one from the other? What's the reason? Because the man inside, when he came, he had his own needs. He needs a body in a particular way for him to function according to the desire in him. So accordingly, this body was created. The particular body was created. So that is what has happened. That's why they say that this sushma shariram, which travels through this pranan into the next body, when he goes there, according to his requirement, he will create the next body. And mukhya pranaha jiva gachandi. And this pranan is like the minister, goes with him, with the king. He goes with the king. And there he says there, it is in the Vedavyasa Maharshi mentions this in one of the sutrams in the Vedanta Sutram, Brahma Sutram. It says, the Sutram says like this, that because in Brahma Sutram you can read all these things, how soul leaves one body, goes into the next body. It's very elaborate explanation to that. Chapter after chapter. Different adhikaranam they call it. The one of the adhikaranam is all about this soul's departure from this body and transfer to the next body. So there he says here, that mukhya pranaha chivaha gachandi pranadesha. He says there, because of all these things, wherever you have any identification in this world, he will have, if you have any slightest identification anywhere here, then material existence he will definitely have. He won't be able to go, get out of that. Because from it is from this point that they are saying that life is a continuous thing. By looking at our subtle body, not looking at the gross body.
looking at the subtle body, because subtle body is not dying. It is going from one state to another state to another state to another state like that. And in each state he is getting a gross body and leaving it, gross body takes it on and leaves it there. Isn't it? So, even when all these things are happening, in your Atma, in consciousness, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening inside the self, isn't it? So who has the material existence then? So that is why Krishna is saying there, that you see that in the 12th verse he mentioned that. Krishna's way of saying is so much to be extracted out of it. So look at that, 12th verse. Yava dehendriya pranai atmana sannigarshanam samsara bhalavam stavat apartopi apyavivekinam. Apartopi avivekina. Who has material existence? Krishna is saying. Apartopi avivekinam. Apartopi avivekinam. Krishna is saying that there is no point in asking who has the material existence. Atma has no material existence, right? And body is gone, also has no material existence. Then who has a material existence? That's the question. Atma has no material existence. Body has no material, because body, we know it's jadam. It's going. We all know about it. One day this will finish and go. But then who is suffering then? Material existence means suffering, is it not? But who is suffering then? That question comes. That is what Krishna is trying to get our attention. That Uddhava, look at that thing which is moving from one body to another, which is our, this whole subtle body, sushma shariram. And Krishna is saying here, yavat dehendriya pranai atmana sannigarshanam samsara bhalavam tavat avartopya viveginam. Means that as long as there is identification with the body, deham, indriyam, pranam, and atmana and mind, all connection, sannigarshanam, in their combination of all these things, samsaram will be there. Apartobi aviveginam. Even though that fellow inside is not real, still a person who doesn't have proper knowledge and realization, for him it will be continuous and it will be effective on him. That means a person who has no proper spiritual realization, for him this subtle body is everything. He doesn't know anything about the soul, so that has no effect on him. He knows that this body is going one day, it's going to go, he knows that. But then misery is not going, is it not? It will be nice if everything is finished with the body. That's also we know very well, it's not finished. It goes on, misery goes on. And Atma at the same time is not affected by anything. Body is going. So we are trying to find out who is experiencing this misery. That is what Krishna is trying to point at. He is saying to us that a person who doesn't have this understanding, that person, this will be effective on him. Material existence will be there and it will be continuous. So then what do we have to do? He is saying here, who has a material existence? This question has to ask. And who is this person who is suffering in this world? And what is my identity? When you start inquiring about that, and who is this person who is inquiring that? What does Krishna say? Amulame dad bhuruba rupitam manovaja prana sharira karmam jnanasi novasanaya shidena chitva munirgam vicharatya trishnaha. I am unable to find the root of that person, of ahankaram. And when you think that these things, like they are all traveling with this credit card, ahankaram, with these vasanas, with this samskaram, with the mind, with the senses of knowledge and senses of action,
and using this flight of prana and everything, when you are inquiring about him, you can't see the passenger. See that? He is traveling freely, but you can't find him. Who is the passenger? So, there's no person like that. This is a difficult thing, isn't it? For example, because he himself is a fictitious person. He's not real. Angaram is not real. That's the problem. And when you inquire about its source, you can't find him. But he appears in different dresses all the time. He appears in different dress in us, is it not? And then we identify with him straight away. It gets into our identification, isn't it? And that is why Krishna said, Amulametat, because he has no root, but Bahurupa Rupidam. He has got a lot of dresses. He puts on any dress and he comes out. Bahurupa Rupidam. And he is very good in dressing up. He has got so many clothes. So he can put on any clothes he wants. But if you try to find out who is he, you can't find him. You can't find him. You can't find the party. Party is not there. So, it comes from a form, and it stays in a form, and it takes different forms. That means, shokam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spriha, and ahangaram takes in all these kinds of different forms. And birth, death, everything he takes. But where is he? We don't know. This is the problem with ahangaram. Where is he? Because Atma has nothing to do with any of these things. He is so independent and he won't let you catch him easily. So, and if you ask what is his form, he has no form either. He has no form either. And he can take any form he wants it. And he will dress up in any way he likes it. And that is why we have to kill him. How will you kill him? That's what it says in the Jnanasin Obasanaya Shirena Chitva Munirgam Vijaratya Trishna. Through the sword of knowledge and upasana, sharpen it, sharpen like a razor edge, and knowledge that is sharpened with upasana, and that knowledge, through upasana, what happens to chittam? Chittam will become very one-pointed, it become one-pointed, and it become very determined to kill that ahangaram inside. And it makes a decision that I want to get released from this problem with this fellow inside. And that determination comes to him. And that is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Determination he is talking about where? Vasayalmiyavuddhi egeha kurunandana. Egeham it is. That it is not looking anywhere else. This is the only business in life. To heal him. So he will do it in such a way. He'll get liberated, that then he says he will not come with another dress again, that fellow inside. He won't come up with another dress again. And when Lord Buddha realized the truth, this is exactly what he has spoken. Buddha said this. He says like this, I have built many, many houses and lived in all that. But now I'm tired because I have found out the person who is building the house. And I have stopped him from building any more houses. I have killed him. Buddha said this. Buddha's statement. He says, and he won't build another house again, he said. Buddha says about him. Ahangaram, I won't allow him to build another house. I found out who it is doing this and I have killed him, he said. Who else said this? King Janaka. Janaka said this. Janaka says, after realization, Janaka says from Yajnavalkya Maharshi, he says, Prabuddhoham, Dushta Chauroyam Atmana. Prabuddhoham. I am woken up. I found out who is doing this to me. And I am woken up and I caught him, this thief, and I found out who is actually stealing my happiness, which comes from the soul. Who is taking my real happiness, which comes from the soul? Who is taking it away? I found out him. His name is this mind. and I'm going to kill him straight away, he said. And he has been giving me trouble for so many lifetimes, and I found out now who it is. From now on, I will not allow him to give me trouble. So that is what it is. Buddha said the same thing. Janaka also said the same thing. So through the power of knowledge, of the sword of knowledge, through upasana, spiritual activities, that the knowledge is purified, and with that, vijarat, Krishna says there, chitva munirgam vijaratya trishnaha, that right at the root of that, I'm going to cut that tree inside. And vijarati atrishnaha, in the earth, gam, bhumi. This he says here, chitva munir gam, gam. Gam means, in the earth, I will travel in that. So, also, munir gam, gam also refers there to the cow, the sun, the earth, Vedam, Mahavakyam, all these things are included in that. And I'll travel in this world, Gam Vijarandi, Gam Vijarandi. And in this world I will travel happily, with full knowledge and bliss, completely free. And because all these problems have happened due to that ahangaram inside. And if you have killed that fellow inside, ahangaram, then you are like a child, once you have killed that person. And you are free, and then totally happy. And totally free and totally happy, you are like a child. And that is why, balavanaga kredayadi unmatava charet, like small children, unmatavat charati, that as though you are intoxicated in this world, you walk in this world and nothing is going to stop. You will find this in all the sages who have come to that state, is it not? You saw in the Jadabharata, particular example, Dattatreya Maharshi, Rishabhadev, and Yudhishthira also, at the end was like that. Because ahangaram was completely gone from inside, totally free. Remember how Yudhishthira walked out from the home after the after Arjuna came and told about Krishna has left the world? Yudhishthira left this world in that state. One Mahaprasthanam, where he went to the Himalayas to leave the body. How he walked out? Nothing in the body, completely. Dugula Valayadigam, it says, took out all his royal dress, everything, threw it away. And then long beard, long nails, long hair, and not concerned about anything, walked out from here, from this world. So, why? Because that's the way it is. That's the way it is. When, see, ahangaram goes away, then you have no identification with anything, isn't it? When you have no identification with this body, you are not concerned about the body anymore. See, so long as identification is there, we'll keep on buying clothes, decorate the body, comfort for the body and everything. As long as there's identification. Once identification is gone, you won't be doing any shopping after that. Finished. No more shopping for clothes. Finished. So, what? Sukadeva Goswami is walking around without any clothes on. Is it not? When he came to Parikshit, he had no clothes on. Rishabhadeva walked without any clothes on. Janabrata had no clothes on. Dattatreya had no clothes on. So that's that state. So you'll save on the clothes at least. Don't have to go for shopping after that. So that's the important thing, is that Krishna is saying here that if you come to that state, like small children, they don't care whether clothes are there or not on the body. They're not bothered, you see, they walk around freely without clothes on. It's the same state it comes to. Identification is not there with the body. You notice that 1-year-old child or 2 years maybe. Then the mother and the parents and others will tell them, put this clothes on, put that on, put that on. After insisting, then he start wearing it. And then we teach the child that there is, you feel, people are looking at you, you feel shame, it's a shame and all. We inject this into them. Up to that, doesn't, in a natural way, it doesn't have any shame.
doesn't feel anything bad about it, doesn't know anything else. So you can see a realized soul and a child is very much similar in everything. That notion, feeling, because there's no identification. That is the reason behind it. So, and so, ahangaram, say. So, and Sadashiva Brahmendra, he has a famous book called Alma Chid Vilasam. What does he say in there? Like Vidyarana Swami talks about Panchadashi. Exactly in the same way, but this is an older book. Sadashiva Brahmendra says Alma Chid Vilasam is a much older book. In that book, he gives an example to this. He says, normally the snakes go after the frogs, isn't it? Frogs are called Mandugam. And Sarpam, the snakes goes after the frogs. And normally what the snakes do, they stay inside the cave. Inside the cave it stays. When the frog passes through in front of the cave, it'll come out, eats the frog, and then it goes back into the cave again, and it rests there. Similarly, in this book, Almachit Vilasam, Sadashiva Brahmendra says this. He says there that yogi is like that. That he has gone outside, and the sarpam is like that snake inside. Snake is compared to Chit Shakti. Those Chit Shakti, the snake that goes out and eats the frog or the mandugam, which is the mind. It catches the mind and swallows the whole thing inside. Then it goes back and stays and remains in the cave of the heart. Hridaya kuhara madhye. In the heart, it remains there. So, kabalida mandugi, chinmayi bujagi, chinmayam. That means, it goes into the heart, which is the cave inside, and he goes and takes shelter there. The chit shakti comes from there, and goes outside, and eats the frog called the mind, swallows that, goes back inside, and stays there. That's how Sadashiva Brahmendra mentions that. So, and then he is free, and he is not, then this problem is gone, once it has done that. Once it has done that, this problem with the mind is over. So, that is what he is saying there. That is that next verse. You see what Krishna says there? Jnanam viveko nigamastapascha pratyaksham aidikyam madhanumanam adyandayorasya deva kevalam kalascha heduscha tadeva madhye. All that is implied in that verse. Jnanam viveko nigamastapascha pratyaksham aidikyam madhanumanam adyandayorasya deva kevalam kalascha heduscha tadeva madhye. Kalascha heduscha tadeva madhye. Krishna is saying, come to know that vastu, that substance, which does not change in the middle, in the beginning, or in the end. One who doesn't have any change. Know that substance. And find out, whichever that has got a beginning, middle and the end, take that it is all asat. Everything is asat. Knowing that, that means, if you are not experiencing the soul, which has no beginning, no middle and the end, if you are not experiencing that, every other experience what you have, is Maya. Every other experience, what you have is actually Maya. Actually, it is Maya. Because that is the simplest way of defining Maya. Suppose you are not aware of yourself, who you are, that means you are not in the self-realized state of your realization of the self proper, and you are not identifying with that Alma inside, instead identifying with the body, mind, intelligence. That itself is Maya. That itself is Maya. So, therefore, because real identity is only with the consciousness inside, which means I am existing, that awareness, isn't it?
And where is that experience? Then I am existing, my awareness. And that is in the real self, or I, Alma, aham asmi, aham, aham asmi, isn't it? So that is the only truth in all these things, your existence. And that is the experience of the satta. Everything else is the experience of the asatta. Everything else is the asatta. So satta or truth is only experienced in the form of awareness. Is it not? Astitvam or awareness. That only, you see, the only thing you can say, truth in this whole thing, is that my existence, of awareness of my existence. That's the only truth anybody can say, that, isn't it? You can't say your body is truth. It'll go. Mind also you can't say it is truth. It'll go. Senses will go. Everything will go. But then this awareness inside, he's not going, he's remaining all the time. When you die, you are always saying that, when I die, and you say, you are so sure that after death you are going to be there. That's why when I die, when you say like that, you are not thinking in terms of that's the end of it. No, you are still thinking that yes, death comes, when that death happens, or sometimes we say, when I am gone, we say, you can do whatever you want. Sometimes when you get so upset with somebody, you say, when I am gone, you can do what you like. So that means, when you say you are gone, what does that mean? That you are going somewhere. You are not 100% sure that that's the end of it. You are not saying, when I am gone, everything will be finished. You don't say like that. You say, when I am gone, you can do whatever you want. You see. So you know, deep core in your heart, you know that you are going to go somewhere. And who is going? This awareness of your own existence. That's what he's traveling. He's going. So that awareness is the only truth. And that truth that is in the form of awareness, nothing can help you to find it out. That's the problem. Direct perception, you can't find out this awareness. Right? Krishna spoke about many things before. Pratyaksham, anumanam, nigamam, all kinds of things. Pratyaksham means direct perception. Direct perception, you can't know about this awareness. Okay. Then, anumanam. Anumanam means by inference. We can't know about that thing. Awareness, you can't know by inference. Because he is always there. At the same time, you are not able to talk about it. You only know that you are there, and that you are there, whether the books are there, Shastram is there, Guru is there, doesn't matter. They are there or not, that is there, always. So, pratyaksham, direct perception cannot help you. Inference cannot help you. Aidhikyam. Aidhikyam means that incidents, what has happened in the past, analyzing the past and coming to a conclusion like that. That also cannot help you. Aidhikyam means from itihasam, like Ramayana, Mahabharata, they are all itihasam. Even Vedam cannot help you there about this awareness. Vedam cannot help you. What Vedam can do is Veda can talk about that indirectly. It can talk about it. But directly it cannot hand over to you the experience of that. Can it? When self-realization happens, even Vedam cannot do it. It's an amazing thing it is. Actually, you have to give time to think about that. So we talk about Vedam, 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 everything. Vedam also cannot help you in this. Directly it cannot help you, Vedam. What Vedam does is indirectly talks about it in a through Upanishads and other things, everything it is spoken, that this is the nature and the process is spoken, everything. But if you ask the Vedam, can you give it to me and explain, give me an experience that, no, it cannot do that. So Vedam cannot do it, direct perception cannot do it, nigamam or Vedam cannot do it, anumanam it cannot do it, inference you can, aidhikyam it cannot do it. None of them can do it. That is what it is saying. Then, and Vedam, and even if you perform austerities and penances, there is still not guarantee that you will experience that yourself. You won't be able to stay in that state. So, what does the spiritual master does? That's where spiritual master's role. He is saying there that that he is the same one who is inside, whom you are searching after. He comes outside in a particular form and says to you that somehow or the other, kaushalam. Kaushalam means you got to know the... How it happened, you don't know. How it happens, you don't know. But through your... whichever process you have done, followed, right? Something you have done right. Something you have done right. So it has happened. Realization happened. You have done something right, therefore it has happened. And that is why it says like this, that kutaschil kaushalat paramatma vilokyate. Who said this? Janaka said that. How did Janaka realize? After he met all the great rishis, every great personalities used to come to his palace. Right? So Yajnavalkya, Ashtavakra, they were all his regular visitors. And he used to have loads of discussion with them. How to find him? That was the question. And these rishis will give him instructions and they will go. But one day it so happened, Janaka says, these rishis have spoken to me from outside, but I don't know what I have done. It happened to me, he says. It happened to me. And once I got it, then I realized that what I have got, Janaka says, I have got. And I stood in that state forever since then. I didn't lose it anymore. So, therefore you can see in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end, what is truth is the only truth. Is the only truth. And that is the adhishtanam, or the basis on which all other things are happening. And that is why even time is happening because of his existence. And all this cause and effect and the bondage, everything what you find here is only because of the presence of that adhishtanam inside. Remember that verse in the Kathopanishad, where it says there, that Kathopanishad says that, isn't it? That you can study Shastram a lot. You can execute a lot of austerities and penances. But there is no guarantee that you will realize the truth. Which means that spiritual realization cannot come from karma. Because if you study Shastram, it's a karma, isn't it? You're studying Shastram like a karma. It's a karma. And all other spiritual activities, what you are doing is all karma. Karma cannot bring jnanam at the end. Karma cannot do that. It's a deficiency with the karma. So you can see that it's a problem. So, for example, you can see here, that Nitya Vastu or Atma, because of his presence, only you are seeing the world, is it not? You are seeing the world because of that. And because of seeing the world, and then we are using direct perception, inference, Vedam, all these things, you are utilizing it. Because he is there, the world is there. And because the world is there, Vedam is there, direct perception is there, inference is there, all these things. So, for all these things, Vedam, direct perception, inference, and the world, everything, the Vastu, the real root of all these things is this Adhishtana Vastu inside, which is the soul, And to know him, all these things won't be of much help. It will educate you. It will convince us about the existence of it. Vedam will convince you about the existence of the soul. But Vedam cannot give you the experience of the soul. That's the difference. Vedam convinces you about the existence of the soul. That's what throughout Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, what you are studying. Is it not? It convinces you of the existence of the soul. But it cannot deliver you the soul, experience of the soul. That is called kaushala, kushalata, or that expertise. Janaka says, I don't know how it happened, he says. All these rishis had come, because Janaka was a great personality, they have come and instructed me on this. I don't know how I got it, he said. I got it. Now after getting that, I'm not losing it. Everything changed in my life, he said. And that is why Krishna considers Janaka as the greatest authority. You remember in the Bhagavad Gita, he uses his name, Astito Janaka Deya, he says. Janaka onwards, everybody, he says, is authority. So all the external authority, for example, Bahya Pramanam it's called. All the external Pramanam means direct perception, inference, Vedam, and Anumanam Nigamam. All these things, these are all external authorities, external pramanam in other words, that is only up to the point till you realize the self. Till you realize the self. Once you have realized the self, then there is another authority after that. So that you will see in the, there is a book called Atma Bodham. In that book there is a statement about that. It says, So bhodena anya bhodecha bodharupayam atmana na dibasya anya dibacha yatha swalma prakashane. It is the Atmabodham. If you read, you will see there this one particular verse. Then what is the difference then? We misunderstand about Vedam also like this. We think that Vedam is the answer for everything. No. Vedam can explain to you and convince you of the existence of the soul. But Vedam cannot make you realize that soul. Vedam cannot do that. Vedam can only convince you, because Upanishads are all teaching us the existence of the soul in different ways. But that very experience, or what is called self-realization, cannot be handed over to you by anybody. That has to happen within yourself. This is where Krishna's mercy comes. Mercy is such a powerful thing that all these great souls, whether it is Sadashiva Brahmendra and many others like that, they all finally come to the same conclusions. They are all highly learned people, but final conclusion is this. Unless Antaryami inside, Krishna inside, when he decides to give you that experience from inside, only then it will happen. Only then it will happen. You may have studied all the Shastram, and you have understood it, debated it that with many people, and you know the all the question answer everything, but still the Antaryami inside reveals to you that experience, you haven't still got it. You still haven't got it. So, so bhodena anya bhodecha bodharupayam atmana na dibasya asya dibecha yatha swalpa prakashane. That is that verse in the Atmabodham. What it says is that, he is saying that to know, suppose a lamp is burning. To know that lamp is burning, I don't need another lamp. That itself is burning on its own, isn't it? So because it's burning and the light is coming from that lamp, I know the lamp is there. I know the lamp is there. And similarly, the soul is like that. You cannot bring any other torch and flash it on the soul. You can't do that. Similarly, any other knowledge from outside, you cannot bring it and flash it onto the soul. But that, all that things will only tell you, give you a hint about that. And but if on its own it reveals to you from inside, look, I am here, that's you, then I will lose my connection with the body and I'll become identification with the with him. That is when I leave my jiva form and I come to the atma form, to the atma state. And this is what is discussed in the Shruti Gita. It is a very complicated verses in that Shruti Gita. There are so many things mentioned. Jaha Lakshana, Ajaha Lakshana, Jaha Jaha Lakshana. Lot of things spoken there. And if we go on talking about all that, it's very confusing also. You'll get a lot of confusion from that. But by discussing all that doesn't mean that you will get it. You won't get it. Because Satyam, truth, is always Aparoksham. Truth is always Aparoksham. It is Aparoksham. It's not, it's Aparoksham. Aparoksham means that
Only in your experience you can know that. You can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't do anything. None of these senses are able to give any perception about that. It is inside, you have to experience it. That's what it is. Aparoksham. And when spiritual master is pointing out to that, aparoksha vastu, and when spiritual master goes on talking to you about it from the Shastram, the person who is listening, at some point, due to something that happens inside, he gets it. When you keep on talking about it, something that happens inside him, that depends on both the person who is speaking and the person who is listening. If a realized soul is speaking and the person who is listening also equally qualified, all the qualities what Krishna has spoken there, then what happens? Suddenly he realizes the truth, and that is what is called pratyabhijna. Remember that word, pratyabhijna? We talked about that before, pratyabhijna. So, pratyabhijna is like this. What is pratyabhijna means? Pratyabhijna means the first taste of spiritual realization, self-realization, the first taste. That's called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that immediately you realize, when it realizes, when it happens, immediately you realize that there is no such thing called a death. Today, what do we realize? Death is coming all the time. But when this happens, immediately you realize there is no such thing called death, which means what? I'm living forever. I'm eternal. And it is here that vastu, that atma, from which this realization comes, right? It is in the same vastu, that atma, where we get our mind born. The mind is also coming from the same thing. When self-realization happens, the mind goes, it's finished. But it is from the same vastu, the mind was born. The mind was born. And therefore, it is called a vyagradi. The first vyagradi it is called, vyagradi. So, first, atma is a vyagradam. Mind is vyagradam. I don't know whether you get that point. Atma is called avyagradam. Avyagradam means it's not showing up in us at the moment. It's there, but you have no experience of that. Therefore, it is avyagradam. But mind is there, we know it is there, because it's working in us, isn't it? Therefore, it is the first vyakriti, it is called. And what has happened now? Atma is avyagradam. Mind is vyagradam, isn't it? So, the problem is, when this mind is born, what is the first problem that the mind creates? What's the first problem? The first problem the mind creates is, it is not allowing you to know yourself, Atma. You are not able to know your own Atma. That is the problem. First problem it creates. And therefore it is called avyaktam. Avyaktam. So, because this ignorance that comes with the mind, as soon as the mind is operating, you are saying, oh, I don't know who I am. That's not the first thing, isn't it? I don't know who I am. Somebody asks you, who are you? You will say, I don't know who I am. That's the answer. Okay, you may say something identifying with the body, some name and the form and nationality and language and society and all that, but that's no meaning. But strictly, you are not able to answer that question. Who are you? No answer. How would you answer? Because you don't know who you are. How can you answer that question? So that ignorance is the one that's created by the mind from the first instance, right? And then what happens? Then what happens is, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, avyaktam vyaktaya sarva prabhavandi, Krishna says. Avyaktam Viktimavanam, on the fourth chapter I think, it comes there. So, once this mind has come, then Namarupam has come. Names and forms have come. So, first thing what comes is the mind. First thing what comes is the mind. Avyaktanani Paramesh Shaktihi. And this Avyaktam means unmanifested.
That's how Prabhupada has translated that word, unmanifested. That is one of the potencies of Krishna. And that is what is called Maya Shakti, power of Maya. And it appears as though it is capable of covering us from the experience of realizing the self. Is it not? That why are we born like this? With identification with the body and the mind, instead of identification with the self, why did we take birth like this? So that is because this thing called mind, which was born from the Atma, that itself has done this job. It has created that feeling inside. And then, and that Shakti, that potency of Maya Shakti, it appears as though it is covering that Antaryami inside. It's not allowing you to get anywhere closer to Him. And then what happens after that? It started another form. It starts connecting you with the different names and forms. Namarupam. Different Namarupam. And it is not possible to define that force, what is doing all these things, which you call it as the mind. And if you ask the question, is this soul different from the soul? Atma is from the soul? No, it's not. It's the soul who is doing all these things. The mind also is a part of the soul. It's coming because it's come from the soul, isn't it? But when it comes out, when this force comes out, what it does is, it starts as ahankaram first. And even though it is a part of the Atma, which has come from that in that form, it creates a feeling inside that I am separate from Atma. That's the beauty. This force mind, when it has come from Atma, right? That is the interesting thing. It has come from Atma. Mind has come from Atma. But what does it do? It creates this feeling that Namarupam is important. Importance to Namarupam. So we start looking at different Namarupam, names and forms in this world. And it also, even though not separate from Atma, it creates a very clear identity inside us that we are separate from Atma. That's the first problem it has created, this mind. It convinced us somehow that this vastu inside us, Atma, is not allowing you to go back to it. He is keeping you separately from Him all the time. And even though He is not separate from Atma, that's the way it is. Even though He is not separate from Atma, when He leaves Atma and He comes, He acts as though He is totally independent. That's the nature. That is where ahankaram comes in. Ahankaram comes in. Mind, manasa and ahankaram, they are one and the same. Sometimes we call Him as manasa, sometimes we call Him as ahankaram. So therefore, you know what the name given to Him? Is called Purushika. Purushika is a word used for that. There is a book called Saundarya Lahari. In that Saundarya Lahari, you can see explanation of this Purushika. How He takes birth and how He does things in this world. And we are under the control of this, so in this Purushika. Purushika is what? So, Ka Esha Purushika. Purushika means not in the form male-female, not in that form, but it is a willpower, you can say in English. You call it as willpower. That Purushika is that willpower that comes and acts totally independently in the form of mind. And it is from Him then the three forces comes out, which are Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. Ichha Shakti means the power of acquiring knowledge. Power of desiring things. That is Ichha Shakti. Jnana Shakti means the power of acquiring knowledge. Kriya Shakti means the power to do things. These three forces come from this mind. Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Swarupini, Lalasasanamam. Lalasasanamam, you will see this statement about describing Devi. is like this. Ichcha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubini. These three forces that comes from the mind is her manifestation, which is comes later. So, therefore, Kriya Shakti, Surubini. So, that Shakti, that which has come from the Chit Shakti inside, and because while coming itself, its mood that I am totally independent. When he comes out, the mood of that force that's coming out is that I'm totally independent. Totally independent, and the identification also. Its own identity separately. So, what does she do after coming out? It is her. It is she actually. That power that comes from the Chit Shakti. And when she comes, what she does is Prasute. Prasute means she delivers lots of children. Lots of children. What does she deliver? The children she delivers is Bahvi Prajam. Bahvi Prajam means, this is interesting. So, this is all in the Upanishads and in the Vedam, the same statement. Bahvi Prajam. She delivers loads of baby goats. She is a mother goat. She delivers the baby goats. And he says, Ajahiram Lohita Shukla Krishnam Bahvi Prajam Janayandi. So, when it is delivering those things, when it is delivering them, now what does that mean? Aja means female goat, she goat is Aja. And she delivers a number of baby goats. Some of them are black, some of them are white, and some of them are red color. And she delivered all of them. And the male goat, what does he do? He is lying there quietly. He is not doing anything. And these babies who are delivered by this she goat or female goat, what are they? In Bhikshu Gita it says this, Shuklani Krishnani Atal Lohidani. Remember that? Shuklani Krishnani Atalohidani. That means that this mind, what it does is Sattuvanam, Rajovanam, Tamovanam. Three modes of material nature. With that, it has delivered this world in front of us. This world is that babies that it has delivered. What is the nature of this world? It's considered under three goats, baby goats, are identifying with this world. The white ones are the ones in the mode of goodness. The red ones are in the mode of passion. And the black one are the mode of ignorance. That's why the three colors spoken there. So, this goat has delivered a baby in front of this mind, has delivered. What that is, the goat has come from inside the mind. When it came out from the Alma, it has declared a total independence. It's acting fully independently, this mind. Right? And then what's the next thing it did? It created, delivered to us in front of the male goat, these three babies. Which one? Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And that is this world. This world is nothing but Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And who is this goat? Her name is Maya. Maya is the goat. And therefore, she is actually Aja. Aja. Aja means that she doesn't have any date of birth. She's never born. She's always there. And she delivered. And he, male goat, he also doesn't have any birth inside. So, she has delivered this baby, right? What do you have to do now? Once she has done this, what do you have to do? Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that kill that goat. Kill that goat means get out of Maya. In an indirect way, it is spoken like that. Kill the goat, isn't it? If you look at the 87th chapter, it says there, kill the goat, it says. Look at the words.
Jaya Jaya Jahya Jam, 14th verse. Jaya Jaya Jahya Jam, Ajita Dosha Gribhida Gunam, Tomasiya Dalpana, Samavarudda Samasta Bhagaha, Agajagadogasam, Akila Shaktiava Bhodagade, Kojida Jaya Almanaja, Charado Nujare Nigamaha. See that? Jaya Jaya Jahya Jam.
Jaya Jaya Jahya Jam. That Jaya Jaya Ahi, that this Maya, kill that Maya, which is the goat here, kill that Maya. So one sannyasi was speaking about these words. And somebody came in the middle and he heard that you have to get a good knife and kill the goat. So, and he heard this one verse. And he gone home. So what will happen? He started thinking killing the goat is the main thing. He got it that way. And apparently it is after that people started killing the goats in the sacrifice. This is how it has happened. There is nowhere in the Vedam talking about killing the goats. But once when you hear bits and pieces here and there, this can happen. That when they asked him, why are you doing that? He said, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam to kill the goat. So I've done that, he said. So then Ajam Jahi. Aja means goat. Jahi. So Aja means the goat. Or other words is Maya. Name of this is Maya. So what it says is, chop the Maya. Chop the Maya. So it is actually what they call it as Kalpana. Kalpanigam it is. Kalpanigam. But if you start taking that in a sthulam, in a gross form, then these problems will come. When some things are spoken in as a kalpana or a kalpanigam style in the shastram, then if you start taking a direct meaning like this, these problems will come. So what it's saying is that you reject a maya, and which is comprising of sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, and when she comes in, when the Maya comes in, it is at that point what she does is it creates Namarupam for us, in front of us, and he has created this world in front of us. So you can see how the mind and the Maya together has put us into this situation where we are now. Mind has come from Atma, and mind has delivered these three babies. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. With that, lot of Namarupam came. Because of the modes of nature, Namarupam exist. Along with that, the world also came. Along with that, the world also came. So this is actually the birth of the world. This is how from the Shastram, this is how you see the birth of the world. The other creation process and all, what is spoken there in the third canto, from a spiritual point of view, they are not of much help. This is the one that will help. Because here you can see, how did this world come into existence, isn't it? From a subtle level, when you look at it, you can see with the birth of the mind and with the presence of three modes of nature, the world has come in front of us in the form of name and forms. Name and forms have come and then the world has come. So that is what it is. So how do we kill her? The only way to kill her, if you want to kill this Maya, which has come like this, once you know that, she is also not separate from Krishna inside. Because she has come from Krishna. Because she has come from Krishna. Once you know like that, then even these her children who had come from her, which are these Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, all these things, they will all are his, who it is Krishna's then, isn't it? And then you realize the oneness there. Advaita Surupam. That's when you realize Advaitam. That when you see that, Maya is also not a real thing. Because Maya is also a product of the mind, and mind has come from the Atma. So ultimately, this also doesn't have any independent existence. But Maya, when mind comes out, it declares independence and comes. In the beginning it is like that. But once the realization happens, this Maya, she goes back and stays there. There is no other way, and that is that 19th verse. Yatha hiranyam sugridam virasal paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya tadeva vandye vivaharyamanam nanavadeshai ahamasya tadval. Yatha hiranyam sugridam virasal paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya tadeva madhye vivaharyamanam nanavadeshai ahamasya tadval.
That is what it is talking about. That yada hiranyam sugridam purastad nanavadeshai ahamasya tadvat.
Nanavadeshai ahamasya tadvat. So we will have a short break now.
Chedodarpanam arjanam bhamahada vagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam budivardhanam budivada purnamrda swadhanam sarvapna sumanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnama dhari bahuda nija sarva shakti pidani mida smarane nakala edadrisham tavakrupa bhagavan mamabi turdeiva medrishamiha jani nanuragaham trinara vishuni jena tarorabi sahishtuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Madhanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadi shakamai mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadad bhaktira haridugitvai ai nandadanu jagingaram padidama mushame bhavambudau kripaya tava padapangaja sthitaduli sadrasham vichindaya nayanam galadashrudare avadanam gadgadaruddhaya agira pulakair nijanam kadavabho tava namagrahane bhavishadim Yugaidam Nimeshena, Chakshusha Pravishaidam, Shunyaidam Jagal Sarvam, Govinda Virahename, Ashlishava Padaradam Vinashtumam, Adarshanam Marmahadam Karoduam, Yadadadava Vidadadulam Pado, Manprananadas Tunayavana Param.
When Uddhava asked that question, remember that question, what Uddhava asked? Uddhava said, 10th and 11th verses, he said, first question was, that, naivalpanona dehasya samsar drashtu drashayoho, analpasudhasho isha kasesya dupalabhyade. Uddhava sent the question that, who has the material existence? Alma, you say, doesn't have any material existence. Because Alma is totally independent. Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta, Swarupam. Eternal, totally liberated, fully liberated, fully conscious, and totally pure. Pure, eternal, pure, fully conscious, and always liberated. This is the nature of Alma. Which means that Alma never have any problems. It doesn't have any material existence. Body is dead matter. It doesn't have any material existence. Then who has the material existence? This was Uddhava's question. And that was the verse 10. And the verse 11, he said, Alma, as far as I understand, is avyayam, agunam, shuddham, swayam, jyoti, anavradam. Agnivad, darivad, ajit, deha, kaseha, samsruti. You are saying that that Alma's nature and the nature of the body is two different things. And where is this material existence coming from? So Krishna answered that when Uddhava asked that question. In the verse 12 he said that even though Alma is not having any contact with the body, Alma is not identifying with anything, asangam, no sangam anywhere, that is the nature of the Alma. And even though body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything is there, in between this thing called ahangaram comes in, and where the identification comes through that. And that is when jiva comes, jiva takes birth in the form of ahangaram. And as long as then Jiva is there, Ahankaram is there, and material existence is there. That's how Krishna answered their question.
Yavad Dehendriya Prana Alpana Sannikarshanam Samsara Bhalavam Savat Apartobi Avyaveginam. Apartobi Avyavegina means he has no Vivegam. Vivegam means discrimination power is not there. He has not understood it in the proper way. Therefore, he has got Ajnanam inside, he has got Avidya inside, and therefore he is Avivegi, and because he is Avivegi, all these samsaram will be there. Then, if it is like that, and if you are saying that body has no reality, material body has, is Jadam, isn't it? And how can this be, how can it that the body is experiencing the miseries of material existence? So that's when Krishna said that it doesn't have to be there a cause for the body to experience the misery. That is where Krishna takes us into. You see, Uddhava asked the question, how is that there is, you are telling me that Atma is unaffected totally. Body is dead matter. But where is, why is this material existence then? Why are we suffering? That's the question. So Uddhava, Krishna says the main reason for that is that when they join together, when you are Atma, the joining is this identification, right? When you are identifying, you are joined together. Which one? Atma and the body, joined together. This force that's come from the Atma, which is called the mind, has gone and identified with the Shariram, Manas, Indriyam, Pranam, everything. And that is due to, and that is called in Shastram, Adhyasam. Remember the word? Adhyasam. Adhyasakritam bhavam. Adhyasakritam. Adhyasakritam bandham. It is not connected in the normal way. It's not linked like you connect from two material things. It's not that way it's connected. Adhyasam is a different way of connection. In a different level it is. It's not connected in the, when we say connected means as though they are two linked together. But this linking is called adhyasam in the sense that adhyasakrita bandham, that means bandham due to adhyasam, that therefore as long as it's there, you will see that even though material existence is not real, you will still feel it, the misery. You will still feel the misery. And then Krishna said in the next verse, 13th verse, even though body is not real, how material existence is felt. Explanation of that is that verse. Artehi avidyamanebi samsrutirna nivartade dhyayado vishayanasa supne narthagamo yada. Krishna is saying, to feel a misery, you don't need anything. You don't need any incident or you don't need any person to feel the misery. And he gives the example of the dream state. He said, there is nothing there, still you are feeling the misery, is it not? In the same way, in vacant state also, it can happen, he says. And in vacant state, this identification happens in the similar way, like it happens in the dream state. Krishna's point is, in the dream state, without real thing happening there, you are suffering, is it not? Misery is there in the dream. Some misery comes and you are suffering heavily at that time. Even though nothing is there. There is no elephant, there is no tiger, there is no snake, nothing. But you have felt, you have been bitten, you are going to die. All kinds of feelings in the dream state. Exactly like that, Krishna is saying that in the vacant state, even though soul is separate, which is not touched by any of these things, and body is dead matter, which is also doesn't have any problem with any of these things, due to this adhyasam, a link is established, and you are having the result of that, you will experience that, even though in reality it need not exist. It need not exist. So, it was at that time, this doubt came, that if it is like that, a liberated soul, because he is also still enjoying, sometimes it appears to us as though he is engaged in some kind of vishayaspurti. Vishayaspurti means that he is still drawn into some sense gratification sometimes. He is enjoying prasadam, he is seeing something nice, appreciating that. Does he not, will he get liberated? Is he to get liberated then? And for that, to justify that, Krishna is saying, Yadahi apratibuddhasya prasobo behanartabrat. That is the 14th verse. Sa eva pratibuddhasya navai mohaya kalpade. He says that his answer is interesting. He says, the problem with the dream is only when you have not woken up, right? But when you have woken up, the dream is not a problem anymore. Only when you are in that dream state, dream is a problem. Similarly, you may remember the dream in your awakened state, but it is not causing any damage at that time, like the way it happened in the dream state, right? So similarly, a liberated soul who have come out of that ignorance of sleep, ignorance of sleep of ignorance, you can put it, jnana nidra. Nidra means, like all of us, we are still in that sleep of ignorance. Ignorance is us, in us, isn't it? We are not free from that. So therefore, but those who come out of this ignorance, for him, Krishna's answer is, even though he may appear as though he is having some material existence, it will not cause any damage to him. That's how Krishna answered that question. Do you see the question and answer? Question is, a liberated soul is living in this world, is liberated, right? But same, he is dealing with the world. And sometimes the question is that, will he get liberated at the end? What's going to happen to him? We say he is liberated, but how is he that he is still dealing with the world? Krishna's answer to that is that the dream state, the problems are there in the dream state. But one who has woken up from the dream state, in the awakened state, that dream is not causing the same problem like in the dream state, because he has woken up. Similarly, a jivanmukta or liberated person in this world, because he has woken up from the ignorance, whatever happens in this world will not have any effect on him. That's what he's saying here. Even if he feels slight material existence, on the long run, it won't do any damage to him. That's what he answered. Yadahya pradibuddhasya praswabho bhagavanarthabhrad. Sa eva pradibuddhasya navai mohaya kalpade. Navai mohaya kalpade. Moham or illusion will not touch him because he has woken up inside. He has woken up inside. And then, through Anvaya Vidregam, he showed that this one who takes birth when the Alma and the gross body comes together, who takes birth called Ahangaram, it is he who is the one who is experiencing the material existence, all the material miseries. And that is when he explained that Shogam, Harsham, Bhayam, Krodham, Lobham, Moham, Spriha, Ahangarasya Drishyande, Janma Murtishchana Alpana, verse 15. That means Ahangaram is the one which is experiencing that. He said that, isn't it? So, at that time, the question comes up that if Ahangaram has got material existence, then liberation is also for material existence, is for Ahangaram, is it not? Because material liberation means what? Freedom from the material existence. That's liberation. So, if material existence is for false ego, Ahangaram, then liberation is also for the false ego, is it not? So, and that means after liberation also, Ahangaram could be there if he is getting liberated. So then Krishna says the 16th verse, the answer to that. Deham, Indriyam, Pranam, Manasa, Abhimanam, Jivo, Andaralma, Gunakarma Murti, Sutram, Mahani, Tirudheva Gita, Samsara, Madhavadi, Kalatandram. Kalatandram. He says there that, that this Ahangaram is not a real thing. That is the problem with that. Because the way he takes birth and he lives in this body is that he is addressed in many ways, sutra, mao, mahatattvam and all other kinds, but under the influence of time, that he is always under the influence of time. Who? Ahangaram. Under the influence of time. And he gets illusioned by the material existence. It affects him. While Material existence doesn't affect the soul. It doesn't affect the soul, but it affects him. It affects the ahankaram. So, through knowledge, even though everything is destroyed, through knowledge, but because the living force, Atma, is still there, he is the one who will remain not ahankaram, in liberated state. He is the one who will remain in the liberated state. And the bandham or connection with the material world is only when ahankaram is not there, not when Atma is there. Atma, whether he is there or not, he will never have any contact with the material world, material existence. Whereas ahankaram, when he is there, there is contact and there is bondage. And therefore, when you get, through knowledge, when you get liberated, even though ahankaram gets killed at that time, but the fact is that the Atma is still there and he is the one. So, you are actually killing ahankaram through knowledge, but Atma gets liberated. See that? You are killing ahankaram through knowledge, but Atma gets liberated. It's not ahankaram who is getting liberated. You are destroying ahankaram. What we said, dehendriya pranamano bhimano jivondaralma gunakarma murti sutram mahanityurudheva gita samsara madhavadi kalatandraha. That samsaram and all that, only when this abhimanam or ahankaram is there. Ahankaram, you have somehow the other managed to destroy him, then Atma is free to go. Atma is free to go. So, then he mentioned that, therefore he said that ahankaram alone is the cause of bondage. Bondage is due to ahankaram. Bondage. And then, when through knowledge, when that ahankaram is gone, then you are liberated. You are liberated. And that is what he said in the 17th verse. Amulamedan bhurubarubidam manovaja pranashadira karmam. Jnanasinobasanaya shitena chitva munirgam vijaratya trishna. And then after saying that knowledge, Krishna is saying, Sarupam sadhanam bhalam. With these things he is saying there, that jnanam viveko nigama tapascha pratyaksham aidikyam adhanumanam adhyandayorasi yadeva kevalam kalascha hedushcha tadeva madhye. And then, after saying that, Krishna is saying that even though so much vivaharam goes on here in different forms, and due to that vivaharam, differences, isn't it? When you have vivaharam, you start discriminating people, one another or the other. All these differences, everything comes. That's called bhedam. Bhedam comes in the vivaharam. But in reality, Krishna says, there is only the truth behind it, which is Paramatma Swarupam. And that he mentioned in that 19th verse. Yadha hiranyam sukhrutam purastad paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya tadeva madhye vyavaharyamanam nanavadeshai ahamasya tadvat. Nanahame ahamasya tadvat. That is the verse we are now looking at. So, what does that mean? What is that verse saying? In the last verse, Yadahiranyam Sukhrutam Purastad Paschascha Sarvasya Hiranmayasya Tadeva Madhye Vyavaharyamanam Nanavadeshai Ahamasya Tadvad. Krishna's point is that Vyavaharam, Vedabuddhi, this Vedam while dealing with this world, due to that, material existence continues. But in spite of all this is happening, he's saying there, you must always look into the cause behind all these things, where the whole thing originated from. That means, the mind, as he said earlier, the mind originated from Atma, from Chit Shakti, mind came. And that mind delivered the three babies, white, black and the red. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And these three modes of nature created the world for us, in front of us, right?
So, and when the world was created, Jagat world came, three modes of material nature came, then the mind got stronger. When all these babies it has got, it became stronger. So, even if you, when you destroy this mind, when you destroy this mind,
as he mentioned there, that the last verse, as he said, that once you destroy that mind through knowledge, and then you will only, then you can go back to the source of that mind, where it came from, Atma, and its pure form, you will be able to understand. So, Krishna is now saying that that in the soul, when I say in the soul, it's all in the realizations, I'm saying, that even though mind has created so many names and forms, mind can create names and forms only if the soul is present, right? Atma is there. And because mind has come from Atma, and unless Atma is there behind to support it, mind cannot create this world and the three modes of material nature. None of them. So, because Atma is behind it, mind has succeeded in creating these modes of nature and the world also, and which means Namarupam, names and forms. Now, once this, all the Namarupams have gone from us, and it will go back to its pure form, what is that? Satachita Anandam. So, Satachita Anandam is the base, and from this, Namam and Rupam has come. Once Namarupam all goes away, you go back to Satachita Anandam again, which is in the Vedantam, they call it as Asti Bhadi Priyam. Asti Bhadi Priyam. And so Namarupam has come back again and became Asti Bhadi Priyam. And even now, there is only Asti Bhadi Priyam, Satachita Anandam. Only Atma is there, only Chaitanya or living force is there, only Krishna is there. But then you will ask the question, but then I am feeling so many things are existing like this. And then you have to ask a question that all these things what you feel are existing. Where are you experiencing that? Where do you experience that? Who and who is experiencing that? You say you are experiencing that. If then you ask the question, who is this you who is experiencing it? Who is experiencing that? What is its nature? And when you inquire about that, you find that he is not there. Atma has nothing to experience. It's on its own, it's happy and blissful. Satachita Anandam. But somebody was experiencing that. When you inquire about him, he is not there. Who is experiencing that? So, and that is why it says here. Just like they give the example from the ocean, the waves comes and the bubbles come, the foam comes. So many things come, but they all go back and dissolves itself at the end. And similarly, when you look at the when you looked at it, you felt it was a snake, but actually it was a rope. Similarly, once you have made an earthen pot with the earth, the whole pot is made of earth only, but you don't call it as earth anymore, you call it as pot. So, similarly, In isolation, in that one vastu called Atma, so many namarupams have come, names and form have come, and finally it will go back and dissolves in the same source where it came from, Atma. And it is able to give us the experience of that one Atma on its own, without being manifested in different forms. And that one vastu, which is called Atma, that is, in our experience level, it is Satachita Anandam, or Asti Priyam, Asti Bhadi Priyam, Asti Bhadi Priyam. So, Krishna said there, and that thing, that vastu, is called Vijnanam. Vijnanam Egam Urudhaiva Vibhadi. He said that Samsara Madhavadi Kala Tantram. And Vijnanam, that means that what is that thing? It is knowledge actually. Vijnanam, in realized knowledge. Vijnanam means that avabodham, or in other words, that realized state. That is what it is. So you can see that verse. Vijnanam edatriyavastamangam. Krishna calls it as Vijnanam, the word.
Which one? You see that ahankaram, when you have gone to kill that ahankaram inside, which is existing in the form of jiva, and which has created that all the problems of material existence, when that ahankaram gets destroyed or jiva disappears, instead what happens now, what's present there is this only pure consciousness. Only when it is ahankaram you have all the problem. When ahankaram is not there, there is no problem either. It's pure consciousness. So that is why it's called vijnanam, pure knowledge, and it's also called avabodham. You can see there, vijnanam edatriyavastamangam gunatrayam karana karyakartram samanvayena vidregadascha yenaiva turyena tadeva satyam. Vijnanam edatriyavastamangam gunatrayam karana karyakartram samanvayena vidregadascha yenaiva turyena tadeva satyam. See, Krishna is saying, this pure consciousness, and when you have that awareness, right, from there the mind came and the three modes of nature came. Which means, from there the three states also came. Waking state, dream state, deep sleep. Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti, that has also come because you can see the cycle, how it operates. From the Alma, the mind was born. From the mind, we have seen how it delivered the three children. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And from those three states, those three modes, three states came. Which one? Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti. And from then what else happened? Once Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti comes, when Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti comes, then you have what they know as, what happens for us is, we have three more things to come. What are they? There is a cause behind everything, there is an effect behind everything. Karanam, karyam comes. Not only that, there is another factor that comes in, I am the doer comes in. I am the doer, there is a cause behind everything, there is a, that is called karyam, karanam, karta. Karyam, karanam, karta. Three things came. These things are called tribudi. They are all tribudi. Three things together. Karya karanam karta. Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. They are all called tribudi. And this whole birth of the tribudi itself is from the Atma. They are not independent, none of them. Along with the birth of the mind, all these things were also born. So, and when the tribudi comes, what else happens? Dvandvam comes, duality comes. That's when the problem gets worse, it gets more and more complex, right? And when dvandvam means duality. Duality means that you feel that somebody is friendly and somebody is inimical. Nobody is friendly and nobody is inimical, right? And dvandvam creates ragadvesham also. Attachment and aversion. He is right, he is wrong. And somebody is intelligent, somebody is dull. Like this we have, in everything we put the wedge in between and cut into two, one after the other, one or the other. Somebody is beautiful, somebody is ugly, somebody is strong, somebody is weak, all these kind of things. It's all because of this dvandvam. So you can see that from that knowledge, vijnanam, from that jagrat, sapnam, sushupti has come, karana, karyam, karanam, karta, cause, effect, and the doer has come. And they are also, and then it is from that the duality has come. Samastha yena, he says there, samanvayenam, see there, vijnanam edatriyavastamangam gunatrayam karana karyakartram samanvayena vidiregadascha yenaiva turyena tadeva satyam. Tadeva satyam. He is saying that vijnanam, that all because of Atma inside, all these things are happening. Why Krishna is saying all these things is that look at all these things and see the power of the soul who is able to do all these things. Vijnanam edat triyavastamangam. Three avastha has come from that vijnanam, that knowledge, pure knowledge.
and then Jagra Satnam Sushupti, then Karyam Karanam Karta, and that is why I say Gunatrayam Karana Gunatrayam Sattugunam Rajagunam Tamogunam, and then Karana Karyam Karta. These three things have come, and Dundvam or Samanvayam Vidrega Dascha. Anvayam Vidregam. That is also the same thing. So, and then he says, none of them is satyam. None of them is truth. What is truth then? Yeneva turyena tadeva satyam. Beyond these three states, beyond the three modes of nature, what is known as turiyastiti. Turiyam. That is the only satyam. That's what Krishna is saying there. Yeneva turyena tadeva satyam. Only turiyam state is satyam. Jagrat is not satyam. Swapnam is not satyam. Sushupti is also not satyam. Only turiyam is satyam. Because turiyam is the only state where you are fully conscious, properly situated in the knowledge. Properly situated in the knowledge. You remember when Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by Shringi, the boy, when he cursed him, there is a description of that, his father, Shamika Rishi. What did he say about Shamika? If you look at Bhagavatam, you will see what they said about him. That he was in the 19th chapter, first canto. No, not 19th chapter, 18th, I think it is. Where he says, see the verse 26, 18th chapter 26. Pratiruddhendriya pranam manobuddhimuparadam sthanatrayat param praptam brahmabhudam avikriyam. That is that state. That is satyam. Sthanatrayat param praptam. Sthanatrayat param praptam means beyond Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti. Beyond Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti. Sthanatrayat param praptam brahmabhudam avikriyam. Brahmabhudam, brahmabhudha state. That is satyam, Krishna is saying. That alone is satyam. So, saying that, and his Krishna says, Uddhava, that in the 21st verse he's saying there, nayat purastadudayanna paschal madhyeja tannavyavadesha matram budam prasiddham japarena yadyal tate tadeva tatsyadidime manishyaha manishaha. So he says, you see, Krishna says to Uddhava, Vyapadesha Matram. Matra means that what was not there before and what is not going to be there at the end, if it is there in the middle something, that is not truth. That's an important principle. It was not there in the beginning. It was not there at the end also. So in the middle it appears as though it is there. But it is not true. Because it's only in the middle. And what is the best example? This body. Look at our own body. This body was not there before, wasn't it? Adau andejayan nasti vartamanevi tattada pashyad. So, easiest thing is to look at your own body and understand it. This statement, Krishna's statement. That, and you can immediately understand this. That if I think about me in this form, bodily identity, I didn't exist like this before. And I know after some time I won't be existing in this body like this in this form. So Krishna is saying because it didn't exist in before,
It's not going to exist in the future also. Even now it's not existing. Even though you say that it is existing, it's not existing. This principle is very important. Yatnayat purastha duryanna paschad madhye jadannam yavadesha matram. Only in the middle you are seeing this. I keep on going through different bodies. And in the middle I see some form and it goes, comes and goes. One form comes and goes, another form comes and goes. Therefore they are not real, Krishna is saying. They are not real. So, if you go back a little bit, you are not there, like the way you are today. And now you are like this, what I am seeing, or you are seeing me, I am seeing you. In this form we are existing now, at the moment, right? So, just in your own thoughts, think about yourself non-existent without this body. That's what Krishna is saying there. Think about yourself as though you are not existing in this form for some time. Think like that. He says, Vyapadesha Matram. Nayat purasthadu yanna paschal madhyeja tannam vyapadesha matram. Bhudam prasiddham cha parena yadya tatteva tatsya adhidi me manisha. So intelligent person, Krishna is saying, will think like this, always in relationship with the eternity, not in relationship with the temporary false truth called this body, the false thing called the body. Always we should think, this body wasn't there before, this body is not going to be there forever, it will go one day. So what I have got to do with this body? That's the way you separate from the body. And to think like that. Krishna is saying like that. So he says here, so, that turiyam state, because the existence of the body is only in the three states. Remember, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, there you are identifying with the body. In the Jagrat it's called Vishwan, in the Swapnam it's called Taijasan, and in the Sushupti it's called Prajnan. And that's the name given to that person for Atma in the three states when he is identifying with these things, right? Body. So he's saying here, what is there in the Turiya states, that alone is the reality. Nothing else is the reality. So, you can think like this, Krishna says there, that think about your non-existence. Think about that, about your non-existence. Instead of thinking about your existence all the time. For example, say 100 years ago, what was I? Think like that. And you also think, you can't think anything further. Finish there. Thinking is over, isn't it? And if you think, after 100 years, what will be here? What will I be like? What will I be like? You can't think anymore. Anything after than that. It is only in this middle, Krishna is saying there, now you think you are there, but the body is continuously changing. Body is continuously changing. And it will continue to change, no matter whether you like it or not. It will continue to change. And finally, it goes. Finally, it goes. Everything is changing. And, but, after saying that, Krishna says, but think about that, whom you are saying as, I am. I was there, I am now here, I will go. When my body goes, I'll go somewhere. Who is that awareness? Where is he going? And how can you take that away? That is not possible. That is not possible. And this is exactly Krishna started the Bhagavad Gita with. Is it not? Na sato vidyate bhavo. Again, everything will come back to the same words. Na bhavo vidyate sadha ubhayorapi drishtvandam sthanayor tattva darshibhi. You see, such a simple truth, the science hasn't caught on to that yet. They are still behind all these things. Rishis, without any telescope and without all the going to moon or Mars, sat there in the forest and they found out this. That is the power of Sattvagunam. Sattvagunam, Sattval Sanjayade Jnanam. Krishna says, proper knowledge will only come from Sattvagunam. Proper knowledge. You will get all kinds of knowledge in this world, but it won't be proper knowledge. It will be Rajasic or Tamasic. Whereas the rishis, they went to the forest. And in the forest, in that sattvagunam, and in their deep absorption in the truth, they came out with some conclusions. And that's what all this is, Krishna is talking about. Which you can see is totally different than the one what you collect through your mind and the brain. It's totally different, isn't it? Completely different. So, that awareness of existence, I am existing, that awareness, that is the one existence that you cannot never take it away from you. Because that is what you are. So, existence will never become non-existent. And similarly, because how will you destroy the existence? It can never become non-existence, is it not? Similarly, all these things, experience of existence, the truth behind it, awareness, for all of that, it's originating from a source which is called Atma, which is the soul. And if we come back to that, you will know that you are remaining eternally existing here. That's the only way to get back that eternity to us. That you are going back to that source, you are going back to yourself at the end. That's what it means. You are going back to your real identity. If you go back there, it exists all the time. And whatever you are imposing on that in the form of all other things like body, mind, intelligence, all those things, Krishna says, Vyapadesha Matram. You see that word? Nayat purastad, purastad udayanna paschal, madde chatanna vyapadesha matram. Vyapadesha matram, it is. Vyapadesha matram, because it was not there before. Which one? Body, mind, intelligence, senses, all these things wasn't there. It's not going to be there in the future also. So if you are feeling their presence now, experiencing that, whatever you are feeling now is namarupam only. Namarupam only. And there is no use at all talking about it, Krishna saying. Madhyajatanna vyapadesha matram. There is no point in talking about this, Krishna saying. So, bhūdham prasiddham cha parena yadyal tatte vadatsya adidime manishaham. Manisha. That bhūdham bhāvi, that means past and in the future, this is the only thing that is going to be there. Which one? This awareness. Do you understand Krishna's seriousness about that? Why he is saying that? You see, body, mind, intelligence and all is not your permanent thing, isn't it? Why identify with something which is not permanent? That is a mistake, biggest mistake. And if you do that, he said, your material misery will never go. But if you come back to your real I, who you are, which is the Turiyam state, which is knowledge in the Turiyam state, that realization is the only truth. There is nothing else which is truth. And he's telling us to look at your own body and see. Body wasn't there. 100 years ago this body wasn't there. 100 years from now the body won't be there. In the middle something has popped up like this in some name and form. Why go and identify with it like this and suffer in this way? So the only freedom is when we disengage ourselves with these false things with which we are identifying with, and come back to our real identity, who we are, there is shelter. Then there is no more material existence. Material life is finished there. And the material miseries are all, samsaram is finished with that. That is the point Krishna is making there. And then he is saying here that Vyapadesha Matram. That means it was not there before and it's not going to be there in the future. Which one? All this Namarupam, what we are saying. All the bodies, he is saying. Not only your own body, others' bodies also is in the same way. They were not there 100 years ago. And another 100 years from now, it won't be there. Why give importance? Vyapadesha Matram, he is saying there. And this knowing this, that this is the only vastu permanently existing, this awareness or consciousness, knowing that is what Krishna says, that nishchayam, or your, that is the only truth here existing, Uddhava, he says. And then after that, Krishna is saying that avidyamanobi avabhasate yatam avabhasateyo vaigariko rajasa sargamesha brahma swayam jyotirato vibhadi brahmendriyarthatma vikara chitram.
അവിദ്യമാനോപ്യോഭാസതേയോ വൈകാരികോ രാജസസർഗമേഷ ബ്രഹ്മസ്വയം ജ്യോതിരഥോ വിഭാതി ബ്രഹ്മേന്ദ്രയാർത്ഥാത്മവികാര ചിത്രം. ഏ വൈകാരിക സ്വർഗം, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദിസ് എമോഷൻസ്, വാട്ട് വി ഫീൽ. എമോഷൻസ് മീൻസ് രാഗം, ദ്വേഷം, ആൻഡ് ദി ഇഫക്ട് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ അസ്, ലൈക്ക് എൻവി, പ്രൈഡ്, ജലസി, ആൻഡ് മിസറി, ഫീലിംഗ് മിസറബോ, ആൻഡ് ഫിയർ, ആംഗർ, ഓൾ കൈൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് എമോഷൻസ് വാട്ട് വി എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ്. Krishna is saying here, in reality they are also not there, they are not real either, but it has come to you only because of rajoguna. From brahmam, they all come from brahmam. Brahmam is the source. From brahmam, through rajogunam they have come like this. Through sattvagunam something else has come, through tamogunam something else has come. So when we live in this world, when we feel different emotions in us, right? Anger, sometimes frustration, sometimes disgusted with something. All kinds of emotions comes to us in different forms. Sometimes envy, sometimes pride, sometimes fear, sometimes lusty, sometimes greedy. You don't know. All sorts of emotions develops inside us. Is it not? Where do they come from? Krishna is saying that from the source is the same, from same Atma or Brahman. From there is a channel called Rajogunam. Through that they all come. Rajogunam is the source of their arrival. They come from. That's what he's saying here. Avidyamano bi avabhasateyo vaikariko rajasa sargamesha brahmam swayam jyotirado vibhadi brahmendriyartha atmavikara chitram. Then brahmam, the original source on its own, is full of bliss, full of knowledge and eternal. But from that source, through Rajogunam, all these things come in, isn't it? So that Krishna is saying here, that Brahmam, from Brahmam, who is the Karanam or the source, from there all the Karyam comes, effect. Cause is Brahmam, effect is the senses, the mind, then the five material elements, all kinds of things that's coming from that. He says like that. That is what he's saying here. He says here, avidyamanopi avabhasadeyo. Avidyamanopi avabhadi. That means they are not real, but in experience it's all there. In experience it's all there. Vaigarigam rajasa sargamesha. For example, you can see creation, for example, creation, right? Creation you are experiencing in the form of vacant state and the dream state. It's creation that you are experiencing in the form of vacant state and the dream state. Vacant state and the dream state. Similarly, creation alone you find in the form of Rajogunam and Tamogunam, right? Creation means all these things. We shouldn't look at it through the eyes and say, oh, this is creation means all these things. No, you have to look at it by the way Shastram is telling us to look at. Shastram is saying that what does creation means? Rajogunam, Tamogunam, that's all. And then what else is creation means? The same creation, we are experiencing it in the form of vacant state and the dream state. Vacant state and the dream state. So, various kinds of creation you are experiencing inside. It's a little bit subtle, all these things. And you will see when you read the third canto, the problem. There it says, Brahma created from the mind, it says. And then he gives up the body. Certain things what he created became a problem for him. So he gives up his body and then he takes another body. What does that all mean? It means this, that this srishti or creation is all happening within ourselves. Within ourselves. Unfortunately, it is so difficult to come out of this gross thing to inwardly and to talk about srishti inside what's happening. That's where the difficulty is. Whenever we talk about srishti, immediately our eyes will go out to the world. Oh, this is the creation, isn't it? You will say, no, it is not. These things have come out because of the gunam inside me. Because I have rajogunam inside, all this creation has come. In the form of rajogunam and tamogunam. Srishti is in either two forms. Rajoguna srishti, rajasa srishti and tamasa srishti. Right? And then again, because of the three modes of nature only, rajogunam only, that I have different relationship with this world. Is it not? When I say that, suppose somebody who lives in the city, he feels happy in the city life. Why does he feel happy in the city life? Because he has got rajogunam inside. That is why he is feeling happiness there, in the city. Right? That is the reason. He says, oh, everything is so nice, shops are around, hospital is close by, bus stop is there, railway station is there, surgery is there, hospital is there. Everything close distance, walking distance, we say. And you feel happy about that. Why? Because that rajasa srishti is inside you, rajogunam inside you. That is why you feeling happiness, feeling shelter in all these things also. Is it not? That's how normally when you buy a property, you look at all these things, the comforts, what's available around you. So this kind of srishti is called vaigarika srishti. Vaigarika srishti means that rajasa srishti, tamasa srishti, or which creates emotions inside us in some form or the other. But Krishna is saying there is an adhishtanam for all these things. Brahma Swayam Jyotihi, he says. Brahma Swayam Jyoti Rato Vibhadi Brahmendri Arthalma Vikara Chitram. Artha Vikara Chitram. Because Brahmam is present inside, or Andaryam is present inside, and who is self-illumination. He is capable of releasing all this rajogunam, sattogunam, tamogunam, everything from inside. And accordingly, he creates the three jagrat, sapnam, sushupti in us. And he puts us into these three modes of material nature. And according to three modes of material nature, our creation also. That's how you have to see the creation. Don't look at the creation through the eyes and start talking about it. Look at it from the spiritual side, from the Atma, how creation is created. Creation happens like this. Three modes of material nature come from that, from the power of Chit Shakti. And these three modes has three ways of doing things. Through Rajogunam and Tamogunam, it creates these two states of vacant state and the dream state, right? Vacant state and the dream state. We will talk about only two gunam. Sattugunam, we don't talk about it. Why? Because vacant state and the dream state and rajogunam and tamogunam, which is caused by rajogunam and tamogunam, is the only thing we have to discuss. Why? Because in sushupti, there is no world. There is no creation. So sushupti is excluded there. You are taking it away from the three. Only rajogunam and tamogunam. Accordingly, your jagrat state, jagrat and sopnam. Jagrat and sopnam, accordingly, right? So, what is happening is, what has happened, all these things have come from the Atma itself. And in their senses, the mind, all these things combined together, is showing us a lot of things in the form of creation to us. Our difficulty is to wipe out that ignorance we have built up over several years by going to school and college. This is the greatest difficulty for us now, to get it off that from there. It's so hard because we don't even know the depth of that ignorance. It's so thick inside. And it's not allowing us to, for the proper knowledge to get inside. It's blocking from inside. As soon as you say to somebody about creation, what does he say? He says, this whole thing. Who created all these things, he says. He does not understand this creation has come from inside. The origin of this creation is inside us. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. That's where the words coming from. The same thing what Krishna is saying, the first verse in the Shramukti Stotram. Same thing. Vishwam is not outside. The Atma with its three forces of Rajogunam, Tamogunam, Sattugunam It creates the three states of Jagrasatnam Sushupti. And similarly, these three modes of nature are flowing out. Out of that, the Rajogunam and Tamogunam has created this world. But they also are coming out, and the basis of all that is Atma. Nothing else. Atma. The source is Atma. And that is our identity. That's our identity. But unfortunately, what happened? When all these things came out, the three modes of nature came, and along with the three modes of nature, we have seen the world, and the world has come in, and with all that, I started identifying with the world, and then you know what happened. Apart from identifying with the body, you start identifying with the place of birth, where the body was born. You start identifying with the society you were born. You start identifying with the position you have in the world, a doctor, engineer, or lawyer, or whatever it may be. And then in the family, husband, wife, father, mother, all these kinds of identifications. Where did it all come from? It's all a part of this Rajogunam and Tamogunam. That's where it is coming from. So Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, you should analyze all these things properly. Fortunately for Uddhava, when Krishna has spoken everything, these things in such a summarized form, everything happened to him straight away. It worked for Uddhava. Due to Krishna's, that is Krishna's grace. And there is nothing you can say about it. This is not by effort alone it will happen. It cannot happen. It's not possible. Because the depth of that ignorance inside is so deep to completely wipe it out from inside is a very, very difficult task. You can imagine one is in this state, how he is thinking, how he is acting, how he is living in this world. Totally different consciousness. And after saying that, evam spudam brahma viveka hedubi parabhavadena visharadena chitu alpa sandeham uparameta swananda tushto khilakamukebhya. This is concluding. Krishna is concluding there. He is saying there, evam spudam brahma viveka hedubi parabhavadena visharadena chitu alma sandeham uparameta swananda tushto gilakamugebhyam. Then, in this particular way, Krishna is saying that in a evam spudham brahma viveka hetuvi, no understand brahmam in this proper way. When Krishna says brahmam, it's another word used, that's all. Practically, he's referring to Atma, Antaryami. Whichever way, this is different terminologies, different places Krishna will use that. But Vastu is one and the same. That pure consciousness inside, Brahma Viveka Hetubi, you should separate it out from the rest. From the rest. Parabhavadena Visharadena. That utilizing the knowledge of the Vedam and also utilizing the material elements, which means this gross body, the mind, ego, everything, and you should learn how to separate them out and able to remain in the platform of the Ananda Tushto Akhila Kamugebhyam. At that stage, you will know that there is no such thing called even desire. Akhila kamugebhyam. Kamam or desire is not a real thing. Atma doesn't have any desire. Mind has got the desire. Ahankaram is desiring, isn't it? Whole life we are working with desires, isn't it? What is our, the business people, they tell you if you have no ambition, if you have no desire, you are unfit in this world. So you can see we have come through that culture. And now we are trying to get rid of it. It's become difficult now. Because that's what was injected from day one. That you must be ambitious. You must have this. You must have that. And there's so many things they taught us, isn't it? So many nice things. That's all gone inside. And now the whole project is now dismantling the whole thing. What we have collected like this.
That's what Krishna is saying. So if you dismantle all these things, then what will happen? Swananda tushto akhila kamukebhyam. All desires will go, and when all the desires have gone, you are free and you are happy. In your pure state, you are happy. That it is from this in Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, prajahadi yada kaman. It's the same thing. That when kamam go, it is not by fulfilling desires you will become happy. Rather, when you get rid of all the desires, you will become really happy. Proper happiness is coming from getting rid of desires, not by accumulating desires. Whereas, that's not what we were told. All these years we were told, collect, 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 buy, 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 and become happy, happy, happy after that. We never became happy. Then we whole life worked, collected all the ignorance, and now sitting here and saying what Krishna is saying, totally opposite. So rishis knew this very well. Rishis understood this. They found out certain fundamental things in life where we have gone wrong, basically. In that fundamentals we got it wrong. The fundamental thing is this, that very fundamental thing, by acquiring things and by desiring things, you will suffer more. But not acquiring things, not desiring things, you will become happy. And this, you have to look at certain people who have lived like that in this world, observe from them and learn the lesson. That's all we can say about it. Only when you see such people, you feel your appreciation for them. Not otherwise. By saying this, it won't have the same effect. But when you have seen people like that, it does make you think a little bit about, am I proper doing the things right? You'll start thinking about it. Because this is endless, this madness, what goes on in this here. And this is why their problems, those who have developed this philosophy, that acquire as much as possible, and they will never find happiness. Never. It is never going to happen to them. It will go on like this, year after year after year, struggling, fighting, quarreling, arguing, what they call the economic index, that index will keep going up. It's never going to, they say it should not stop, isn't it? Every year we must have a growth, 2% or 3%, whatever they say. That's the only question they are asking now, how much will be the growth next year, and the year after that. And so where is this going to end? Krishna is saying, don't create all these false philosophies around. First of all, the ignorance. Identify yourself with the wrong things. Not knowing who you are, that itself the problem begins from that. Not knowing who we are. And then, on a false thing, you are again imposing on that all false ideas as well. And then suffer in this world. Is this necessary? That's what he's saying. Chitva alpa sandeham uparameda. Swananda tushto khila kamugebhya. Krishna is saying the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Almanyeva almanas tushta siddha prajnata duchyade. That's the only person who is happy in this world. Nobody else is happy. Everybody else is the same story. There is no difference whether you are fighting for American president's position or you are fighting for an ordinary counselor's job here. It's the same thing. There is a difference. Both are ignorance, isn't it? So, we'll stop there today. Tomorrow we'll continue. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada.